Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday, the 12th of December, year of our Lord, 2025. Well, it's kind of interesting. The person of the year is essentially AI, according to Time. Not exactly AI. They didn't want to call AI a person. So what they do is they kowtow and praise the Silicon Valley technocrat billionaires who are creating this abomination. And it appears that there's echoes of the Artelect War. Remember that from Hugo de Garris? So he said, once people figure out what these guys are up to with artificial intelligence, we'll have the Artelect War. They know people will come after them. Well, there's a couple of issues that show this. First of all, Trump's mania to make sure that there can be no regulation or control of anything having to do with AI at a state or local level. But now they're talking about moving their data centers to space. How about the next galaxy? Let's not stop in near Earth orbit. Let's just keep going, okay? But we're also going to talk about NATO pushing hard for World War III. That's right, the... You had the former prime minister who tried to starve his own people in Europe by shutting down the breadbasket of the EU. And now he's a leader of NATO. So we had a lot to talk about today. Let's begin, however, with the news, just general news. The NDAA passed. And it tells us a great deal about the state of the Republican Party. Because we had a lot of people who had very strong concerns about things that were in it. And things that were not in it. And so this was told by them is going to be a take it or leave it bill. You had Mike Johnson doing the bidding of Trump and all the GOP doing the bidding of Mike Johnson, except for Thomas Massie. What did the people who said they were going to push back against this, what did they have a problem with this? Well, they had a problem with the... I think something's wrong with the video, Travis. It looks okay. They had a problem with CBDC, as well as more money for the Ukraine war, and many other foreign aid issues that were there. But they wound up caving. Handful of lawmakers who questioned that. You had Marjorie Taylor Greene. You had Thomas Massie was the only one who continued on with it. But the rest of them caved when push came to shove. So they passed the NDAA. The conservative group had railed against it for various reasons. The omission of a prohibition that would ban permanently CBDC. Also, the authorization of $400 million in new security assistance for Ukraine. So the only person who stuck to that was Thomas Massie. Had other people who had issues with it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Anna Paulina Luna, Tim Burchett of Tennessee, Josh Breachin of Oklahoma, and several others. There's about a dozen people. They were the ones who'd spoken out on this, but they all, in the end, did what they were told by Mike Johnson and Donald Trump. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was retiring and who has called Trump out on so many issues, she didn't stick to her guns. Just remember this when she starts running for the next thing she's going to run for. Burchett said taxpayer dollars flowing to the Taliban, and imagine that. You know, Republicans had that in their bill, going to still pay money to the Taliban. And so Marco Rubio said, we'll cut that off. He goes, okay, well, then I'll vote for it, right? I don't care if it's got CBDC in it or money to Ukraine. I just don't want to send money to the Taliban. Yeah, you know, until Trump had this spat with the Colombian president, the place where most of the cocaine comes from was getting subsidized by the American government, just like we protected the poppy fields and subsidized them in Afghanistan while we were having an opioid epidemic here at home. Don't pay attention to that, right? I tell you, I look back at what has happened, especially with 2020. All the Republicans who were so upset about Trump, so upset that they would go on January the 6th. And it's like, where have you people been for all of 2020? Did you put your face mask that he wanted everybody to wear? Did you put those over your eyes? Were you blindfolded and blind to what the guy did for the last year that you could vote for him again? And yet, you know, this is the kind of thing. In the National Defense Authorization Act, we're giving money to the Taliban. Imagine that. And at the last minute, Marco Rubio pulls that out. Well, what else is in there? Well, the CBDC issue, they had to stop with that because Elizabeth Warren didn't like it in the Senate. So the House says, well, we know Elizabeth Warren is going to push back against that. Fine. Let's have that fight. Let's talk about CBDC. You know, they're afraid to take on Elizabeth Warren. No wonder they cave to everything that Trump tells them. They can't even fight Elizabeth Warren. How useless are they? She's nothing but the tool of big banks. And that would certainly expose what she is if they wanted to have that fight. But they just gave up their big tactical advantage. Meanwhile, you have Luna says, the House is going to go to war with the Senate over that later on. We're going to have a separate bill about that. Well, they gave up their big tactical advantage. The issue is that everybody piles everything into the NDAA because it is a must-pass bill. That's what funds the military. And they're not going to go against that. So if you get something included in there, it's pretty much going to get passed. So they gave up their biggest leverage right there to get this passed. It isn't going to pass. Conservative lawmakers excoriated the NDAA despite the White House coming out in support of the defense policy Tuesday evening. Daily Caller said that Trump, quote, strongly supports this year's marquee defense bill, and that was it. So the conservatives don't like it, but Trump strongly supports it. That's because Trump's not a conservative, never has been. He's a New York City Democrat, a globalist. He's not a conservative. So it is going to codify more.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Than a dozen of Trump's executive orders. And I looked them up. Yeah, it is more than a dozen. It's 15, actually. DEI, for the most part, and things about militarizing the border. And in general, I got to say, I mean, I'm on record, and I still agree in principle with it. I just have some real issues after what I have seen them doing this year in terms of coming right up to the edge and crossing, right up to the line and crossing over the line when it comes to posse comitatus. And so I'd said, you know, Trump wants to end the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. He said, well, just bring all the troops home and just put them at the border. They don't even have to really do anything except just be there as a deterrent. But they're not talking about that. And as this was put into the NDAA and codified, you now have Trump saying that he's going to set up military zones at the border as well. So I'm having some concerns about the way he's going to execute this. The devil is in the details. So Marjorie Taylor Greene criticized this week the bill, citing provisions authorizing security assistance to a variety of foreign countries, including Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And I don't know if I talked about this yesterday. Did I talk about this about Taiwan yesterday, Travis? The fact that they have war gamed this over and over again. Even Pete Hegseth, when he was a Fox News contributor, was talking about how we did not have the ability to defeat China if there was a war over Taiwan. And when he was talking about it a few years ago, the issue was that China had a lot of resources in the area, obviously, and could overwhelm things. And they could produce a lot of very cheap things like drones, for example. And we've talked about this. You know, the U.S. is aspiring to get its drone production up to a few hundred thousand a year, while China is manufacturing over 8 million drones a year. So there's things like that. And that tends to neutralize your technological advantage and the complex weapon systems that you have. Just go back and look at World War II. You know, the Nazis had jet airplanes, they had panzer tanks that were very advanced and that type of thing, but they didn't have that many of them. You know, we had Sherman tanks that were not that, you know, a one-on-one between a Sherman tank and a panzer, it's going to go to the panzer, but if you've got a swarm of Sherman tanks that are out there, that can work. And so that's where we were a few years ago. But now China has hypersonic missiles. We don't. We don't have a defense against them either. And so the bottom line is that would be even more devastating right now. So they want to keep pushing and pushing against these things that they can't really win. They want to have a war that they can't win. And yeah, they're going to fund Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The retiring member, Marjorie Taylor Greene, also criticized House GOP leadership for failing to secure a CBDC ban in the NDAA, which leadership had promised, that's Mike Johnson. They had promised conservatives that they would do that in exchange for supporting landmark cryptocurrency legislation back in July. Mike Johnson just keeps lying to his own people. You vote for this cryptocurrency thing, and we'll make a permanent ban for CBDC in the NDAA. And now he's not doing it. Republican privacy hawks, privacy hawk, anybody that's pushing back against total surveillance police state, argued that a central bank digital currency could grant the federal government widespread surveillance over Americans' financial transactions. Well, that's its very purpose. So, and by the way, that's why the leadership, Mike Johnson, doesn't want to ban it. They want that. But nevertheless, she caved, and she voted for it. As usual, he didn't keep his promise. It's not on the end of the NDAA, so the CBDC loophole remains. And as usual, she votes for it in spite of criticizing it. Another example here. Texas Representative Keith Self, introduced an amendment to reinstate the CBDC ban into the NDAA, but the House Rules Committee did not advance the measure. He said, "We conservatives have been forced into a take-it-or-leave-it bill that breaks that promise. Without that language, I'm inclined to leave it." But he voted for it anyway. This is why I say, you know, when you get them to get you to fall in line with the Hegelian dialectic, these two parties are playing you. They're playing you. This is just like when they have a dog and pony hearing about some subject, and they never do anything about it. They don't come after the people who broke the law. They don't change any laws. It's always the same thing. Rand Paul said that when it comes to the Senate, he will oppose the NDAA because of these issues. So really, you've only got Tom Massey and Rand Paul, both of them out of Kentucky, who are going to stick to their principles and vote against this bill that's got these bad things in it. He said, "This bill is not America first. There's new assistance for Ukraine, tens of millions of dollars. In spite of Trump's demands for his statements that he wants peace, he's pushing for more money for Ukraine." What's going on with that?
It's just this hypocrisy that's constantly on parade.
So as I said, there's 15 executive orders that have been codified in this, and most of them have to do with DEI and military as well as getting it out, which is good. As well as going right up to the limit of Hatzikamatazza at the border.
And perhaps over once he gets there.
So Trump is planning militarized zone on the California-Mexico border. They announced plans on Wednesday to add another militarized zone to the southern border. This time in California. As part of a major shift that thrusts troops and border enforcement with Mexico like never before. And again, in principle, I would favor that. In practice, we'll have to see exactly what that looks like. The move places long stretches of the border under the supervision of nearby military bases, empowering U.S. troops to detain people who enter the country illegally and sidestep a law prohibiting military involvement in civilian law enforcement. Just remember that the Border Patrol claims jurisdiction within the first 100 miles of the border. So if they're going to put the military in there to do border control work, does that mean we're going to have martial law within the first around 100 miles of the border all the way around the country? That's what really concerns me. It's done under the authority of the national emergency on the border declared by Trump on his first day in office, but now that has been codified in this NDAA. The military strategy was pioneered in April along a 170-mile stretch of the border in New Mexico, later expanded to portions of the border in Texas and Arizona. Now it will be in California. We move to tariffs.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Trump's claim on China soybean purchases is not backed up by the data. This is amazing. I had not even seen the bogus claim. But as we're talking about the obvious lies with Venezuela, this is another example, what he's saying about the tariffs. He is saying that Caroline Leavitt said China wasn't doing this, wasn't buying soybean under the last administration because they had no respect for President Biden or for the country at the time. And so now after Trump came in and for the second time shut off soybean purchases from China completely in retaliation for his tariffs, he's the one who shut them off. And so now he's claiming victory because he's getting the tap turned back on. But the amount that they pledged to purchase is one half of what had typically been purchased, one half of what was under the Biden administration. And the numbers don't lie. Trump lies. So as they point out in this Reason article, a broader problem with Trump's trade policies is that the farmers' fates are tied to the occupant of the White House. Shouldn't farmers be able to depend on global export markets without waiting for the American president and his Chinese counterpart to strike a deal? So the facts are, and Travis, in this article, there is a chart where people can see the soybean exports to China since 2017. Since 2017, America has exported more than 22 million metric tons of soybeans to China every year, except for 2 years. Those years, the first one was in 2018, when China cut off purchases in response to Trump's tariffs, targeting American imports of Chinese goods. The second was this year, when China did the same thing. If you look at the chart,
so you see that for the most part, it's well above 22.
In 2017, When he took office, it was 32. And then it dropped to 8 when he enacted the tariffs and then it went back up to 22. And then it went above 30 again.
34 in 2020.
And then throughout the Biden administration, it went 27, 30, 26, 26. Then it dropped to 6 in retaliation of the tariffs again. That's what Trump has done with his tariffs. Caroline Leavitt comes out and says that they weren't buying soybeans under Biden. Well, exactly the opposite is true. And as as New American pointed out when they were talking about what's going on with NATO, they said you have to understand that just because the Russians say it doesn't mean that it's untrue, and just because America says it doesn't make it true, or Trump or anybody else. And the same thing is true of this. Just because it was under Biden, he left that alone. And it's Trump who goes to war with them, who hurts them with this. So, again, they don't want free stuff, said one of the people of the soybean farmer. They just want free trade where they can make the deals themselves, get Washington out of it. And it's not just the soybean farmers. This is a problem across the board. This is something that's affecting all manufacturing, all retail. The deal that Trump recently struck with Chinese President Xi Jinping calls for China to purchase 12 million metric tons of soybean annually. Yes, that means that the deal that Trump has hailed as tremendous, quote-unquote, would result in American farmers selling less than half as many soybeans as they did during the Biden years. Even that total is unlikely to materialize. Treasury Secretary Bessent and U.S. Trade Representative Greer have recently tempered these expectations, with both of them saying the purchases will be completed by the end of February. That's the same thing they said, again, back in September, if you remember, the betrayal of America, of American farmers, in support of Javier Milei in Argentina. They gave him $20 billion. They can move very quickly if they want to. They can do things immediately. But instead, they said, when people got upset about the fact that he gave Javier Milei $20 billion and immediately Argentina used that to subsidize their exports to China of soybeans, and China dropped to zero of American soybeans that they were buying. People said, what's going on with this? And so they came back and they said, well, we're going to give you 12. We gave Argentina 20, and we said we're going to work with private groups to give them another 20. We'll give you 12 in a situation that they caused. And yet, 3 months later, we just had Trump come out and say, yeah, we're going to finally do it. You know, been thinking about doing that. Now we're going to finally do it. Except he's not going to do it until the end of February. And same thing is true of purchases of soybean from China. They said it probably won't happen until the end of February because they simply don't care about the farmers. So hang on just 1 second. This thing has locked up. So can't live with it, can't live without it. So anyway, one thing that Trump is concerned about, of course, is the, let's see, where do we come back to? You know what? This thing is doing some really weird stuff with me. Let me try to get this. What's that?
We're having technical issues all over.
Oh, you're having some technical issues as well? Yeah, I got a problem with Lance's chat program is not working right now, so we're not going to be able to do as many comments here. He has written a program to go through and grab chats. It's really actually pretty clever. On Rumble, North American House Hippo, thank you very much for the tip. He says, not sure if you remember, but back in 2019 and yes, 2020, you had a beautiful rendition of Joy to the World as part of your Christmas bumper music. Was that your composition? Love and prayers. Thanks. I don't remember it. Sorry. No recollection of that. On Rumble, Marky Mark, thank you for the tip. He said, we couldn't win against China. Taiwan is literally in their backyard. They have no supply chain issues to worry about like we do. They'd also have the home field advantage, which cannot be overstated. Well, that's absolutely true. And they are absolutely determined to get that. As a matter of fact, you see some of the AI toys that are coming out of China. And they talked about how they got a lot of inappropriate stuff. A lot of times they'll start chatting up the kids about some weird, kinky sex stuff. No joke. And I guess they were designing these for our schools. But they will also, when they asked them some questions about China, they said, why is it that they have drawn pictures of President Xi comparing him to Winnie the Pooh? And they got berated by the, you know, child who had asked that question. I don't know why a child would ask that question. But anybody who asks that question gets berated by the stuffed bear that is running on AI from China. Same thing about Taiwan, if you ask it any questions about Taiwan. Again, I can't understand why a kid would ask that. But they were just showing the fact that it was going to push the Chinese government's values in many different ways on kids. Also on Rumble, Star Barkley, thank you very much for the tip. Marky Mark is wrong, says Star Barkley. Their economy is tanking. Their electric cars are death traps. They don't pay their workers. It's the land of shortcuts and facades. But it is, I agree. I think that is happening globally. And I think that you look at what is happening with Europe, look at what's happening with the U.S., and you look at what is happening with China. I think that everybody is in trouble with this complex infrastructure that we've created. However, I think they're in less trouble than most people are. When you look at this policy that Trump has had, it didn't reduce China's, China is actually selling 30% more into the U.S. than they did before the tariffs. So it's a complete failure. The big issue is that China has been selected, going back to Nixon and, of course, Henry Kissinger, who was a globalist running the Nixon administration. They opened up to China, and what they did was they had a plan to make China the beta test site for all this technocratic tyranny. And they have given them a monopoly in terms of energy, which means they've given them a monopoly in terms of manufacturing for all practical purposes. They have a tremendous cost advantage in terms of energy, and I think that's something they never had before with the China price. But I think that that is perhaps the most important thing right now. I mean, even if you get to the point where you have, you've automated your factories, you're still going to have power. And they have an advantage with that, a big advantage with that. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to see exactly what is wrong with this pad here and why it won't respond. It is, as somebody said, it basically does nothing, but it's indispensable. And it doesn't have any connection, really, to the Internet. It doesn't even have a clock on it. It's just there for me to be able to annotate notes. And my articles and notes are not showing up on this thing. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Well, it's not just Trump's tariff programs that are failing. It's also his revenge program. He has failed for the second time to indict Letitia James. And it's almost like he's got a Letitia derangement syndrome. Look, I get it. What she did was lawfare. It was wrong. He ought to come after her for that. I'm sure there's a way that they could come after her for improper prosecutorial vengeance, which what she was doing. Instead, he's decided he'll do the same thing himself, and it's pretty clear to everybody what is happening. And they run into multiple issues. Number one, you've got a lot of prosecutors who did not want to, professional prosecutors in the Justice Department didn't want anything to do with it. And so then he brought in his own lawyer who had no experience in this at all. She did it single-handedly, and she was improperly appointed, just like one judge ruled about Jack Smith. And so he threw out the indictments, and since nobody other than her was involved in it, they were gone. And so now they have tried to do this very quickly and put it to a different grand jury, which even refused to indict it. It wasn't that the judge threw it out. They said, we don't see a case that's here. And it is very clear that it's personal revenge. Trump even stupidly tweeted about it, not tweeted, but put it on his Truth Social. So it was a very quick move to bring this back up again, as a retired federal judge said, Nancy Gertner, the prosecutor, as a matter of policy, shouldn't be presenting charges before a grand jury unless they have a reasonable belief that they could win before a jury. Losing before a grand jury once is one of the best indications that there's no there, that they don't have a case. Instead, they've done it again. And as we've frequently said, you can indict a ham sandwich with a grand jury because it's all your case and there's no defense contradicting anything that you say. And yet the Trump administration's had an incredibly low success rate with grand jury indictments. It's nearly 100%. The rest of the time, they've had about 15% or so of theirs rejected. And so it is kind of clear that they don't have a case on any of these things. So Pam Bondi said, I reviewed over 30 statements and posts. I'm sorry. That was what Trump tweeted out on Truth Social. He said, Pam, I have reviewed over 30 statements and posts saying essentially the same old story as last time. All talk, no action. Nothing's being done. What about Comey, Adam, Shifty Shift, and Letitia? Nothing is being done. And so, as a result, you had this lawyer put in very quickly, and it wasn't done properly. Trump has also launched his gold card program. He was bragging about that the other day in his press conference, where he was bragging about executing people in off the coast of Venezuela. He wants billionaires to come into the country. He's looking for some new donors, evidently. The gold card visa program is basically an expedited green card program. It's not citizenship, but if you give them $1 million, and if it's an employer that is sponsoring it, the fee is $2 million, but they can give you a green, what is essentially a green card, but instead of it taking years, it takes weeks. It does provide a path to citizenship, assuming that you aren't arrested by ICE. They probably wouldn't do it to the billionaires. Trump has also spoken of a coming platinum card, which would require a $5 million contribution to the U.S. government and would allow the approved applicants to live in the U.S. for up to 270 days a year and not pay taxes on non-U.S. income. The website encourages applicants to join the wait list. They said that the price may go up more than $5 million. It's kind of a case they're not paying attention. I imagine the people that have $5 million are paying attention to what's going on with the U.S. dollar. They know that there's going to be massive inflation and devaluation of the purchasing price. And I guess that even goes to purchasing citizenship in the United States. The Department of Justice says it will challenge unconstitutional gun policies. But reason says maybe it should stop defending these unconstitutional policies. So they're virtue signaling about creating a quote-unquote, Second Amendment section. So the Deputy Attorney General has been put in charge of that. They say they're going to ensure that law-abiding American citizens may responsibly possess, carry, and use firearms. They said the problem is the qualification of law-abiding, which the Constitution does not have. And it also does not have... we've also had Supreme Court cases that have basically struck that down as well. When they argued about that in the Supreme Court, they pointed out that if you're going to say it's law-abiding, well, then it's just up to the whims of the legislature as to what they make in terms of, even if you say it's going to be a felony. You can basically make anything a felony. Harvey Silverglate pointed out that most of us are committing 3 felonies a day without knowing it. That makes it very concerning when you look at the ability of AI to audit us. It's really going to be, as we have seen with the Trump administration and Pulte at Housing Authority, actually coming after Letitia James and others, going back and investigating the record with a fine-tooth comb using AI to create crimes. And, I mean, we've had a situation, a guy released some helium balloons on a beach and they charged him with a felony, because, you know, they've got that on the books. So you can put anything on the books. We think of felonies as being serious crimes, but it doesn't have to be a serious crime. It could be releasing helium balloons on the beach in a certain area. And even if you don't go to jail, the rules that they have in a particular piece of code that was being referenced by the Department of Justice was that if you have been found guilty of a crime that could carry a penalty of more than a year in jail, then you're banned from having guns. And that doesn't mean even that you have a situation where you were sentenced to a year. And they give an example of one guy who challenged this in court. They found him guilty of some food stamp fraud. And it was a couple hundred dollars that he had stolen. And he had to pay restitution to the government for that. And they gave him a suspended sentence. However, he could have been sentenced for up to 5 years. And so because he had stolen some money through...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Food stamp program, and because even though he had not gone to prison at all, and even though he'd made restitution, they had triggered this effect so that he couldn't have a gun. So that's the point that reason is making, that there is no law-abiding qualifier in the Second Amendment. Just like, you know, there's no qualification on the rights of due process and the presumption of innocence and things like that. It's there for people, not for citizens. And that's why we were trying to get that across. I have a lot of people got very angry with me when I said, yeah, if somebody is violating the law, if they're here illegally, then give them due process and deport them. You know, it is not a felony, and they should not be treated as if they were mass murderers and terrorists. If they're mass murderers and terrorists, then do something about that. But instead, they have a habit of releasing dangerous people who are committing sexual offenses and other things like that. They put them out in the community, and then they conflate this with a separate charge of immigration. Those are separate crimes. Sometimes somebody is involved in both of those, but they need to be addressed individually and addressed to the individuals who are charged with these things. So they always want to conflate these things. Well, I thought that this was kind of amusing. You have, remember the guy who called himself Rachel? And he was the deputy HHS guy. And, you know, he dressed up, I think Biden made him an admiral, and I think He was celebrated in the media as Woman of the Year by somebody. And but he's not a woman. He's a cross-dressing guy. And so they have now changed the nameplate. They had him up as the deputy of HHS. And so his portrait was up on the wall as a former one. So just like Trump trolled Biden by not putting up his picture, but putting up a picture of the auto pen. They've now done the same thing with Richard Levine, who called himself Rachel. I called him Dick Devine. That's what, you know, just to me, when you look at the fact that this guy was a child psychologist cross-dressing, does that not raise flags with people? I mean, it's just amazing. But it is all, you know, this has created a real tempest in a teapot for NPR and a lot of others that are out there. And as the New American points out, Levin's spokesman was complaining about it to NPR. And they said, well, why does Levin still need a spokesman? It's not clear. But that pressing question aside, the spokesman told the science-denying NPR, which refers to Levine as a her, that bigots were in charge of HHS. Well, they had put in a cross-dressing child psychologist, and they're still defending that. But this is the kind of virtue signaling that's being done by the Trump administration. If you remember, he was at the forefront of all this transgender stuff. He was pushing for tranny to get into one of his beauty contests back in the teens, you know, the 2012, 13, 14. And in 2014, you had Michael Flynn was pushing transgenderism and Gay Pride Month at the Pentagon. So these people are, it's just for your own consumption. And they're not really, don't have any principles about this, but it is something that plays well to their base. Meanwhile, we have Barron Trump is secretly devoted to Andrew Tate, they say. He admires him quite a bit, and they spoke on the phone last year. And, of course, Andrew Tate had told people when Trump got in, says it's going to be fine. You might want to ask, though, why the Tate brothers, who had been accused of being pimps and traffickers, why did they go to Romania in the first place? Well, because it had a reputation of a place where you could get away with that. But is evidently egregious enough that not even in Romania were they safe. And so this created a big issue when you had a lot of the conservative influencers, people like Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, were all about Andrew Tate. He has charges against him in the UK, charges of rape and trafficking in the UK. They have denied these, but the Romanian authorities accused him of trafficking more than 30 women and creating a criminal group for sexual exploitation. And he pretty much has admitted that he has done this type of thing. But I don't know even why people are surprised about that with Barron. Kind of going to be a chip off the old block, I guess. You know, Epstein's not around anymore, so the next best thing is Andrew Tate. I don't know if he's connected with any intelligence agencies like Jeffrey Epstein. But Tate and his brother, under a criminal investigation since 2022, in a January 14th text message, he indicated that help was on the way. I had word from the Trump administration that they are on top of things. I've been told I'll be free soon, but Trump needs to see me in Miami. And when that happened, and he tweeted out, we're massively back. If you remember, that was a very divisive thing with a lot of people, conservatives. Well, that's kind of the news of where we are, and we're going to, when we come back, we're going to take a look at what is going on with NATO trying to push us into World War III. Not a day goes by that you don't have some leader of a European state or leader of NATO in this particular case talking about how they want to go to war with Russia, how get ready because your children are going to die. Truly is amazing. And in the meantime, we've got some push in the House and in the Senate. A bill has been introduced to get us out of NATO. It can't happen quickly enough, in my opinion. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The David Knight Show. This is
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
On Rumble, Denver Attaway says, psychology is not a real thing. It's one of the many labels of those that study and try to influence human behavior by wearing the robe of science, when it's just a bunch of opinionated, qualitative BS. Well, I agree, but I think that when you look at people like B.F. Skinner, these are people who have made a real science of deception and manipulation. You know, I don't buy into the Freud stuff. I don't buy into the Jung stuff. Jordan Peterson, who is heavily into Jung, and also RFK Jr., and it was RFK Jr.'s comments about it that got me to really understand what Jung was about, because I wasn't interested enough to look into it. But, when you look at B.F. Skinner, for example, his manipulation techniques, and his book was Beyond Freedom and Dignity, and when they treat us as he's been able to use with positive operant conditioning and negative operant conditioning, he could train animals very, very effectively, especially with the positive conditioning. And they've used those same tactics on us. As a matter of fact, the way I became familiar with it was required reading for Karen when she was getting her master's degree. Because basically they had studied how they can manipulate children and control them. That's the whole point. I want to tell you about that. And that's what's going on with all the LGBT stuff as well. So it can be a very powerful technique, especially when it's combined with something like artificial intelligence. So it is very dangerous. on Cape Pezzanovante, 1776, says NATO means that neocon aggressor terrorist organization. That's right. Well, they do have a NATO bill that has been introduced in the House by Thomas Massie, in the Senate by Mike Lee, and they both call it the NATO Act, but they have unpacked NATO as not a trusted organization, which I think is good. I don't know how many people are going to sign on to that, but it's good that it's there. We need to have that discussion, and here's why. As I said, the former leader of a European country, that would be the Netherlands, Mark Rutte, if you remember, we had this discussion a couple of years ago when he was doing this, and they threw him out. He actually even wound up creating a new party of farmers and people who understood the threat to farming, who wanted to be able to eat. Mark Rutte had basically gone through to implement the design of the World Economic Forum and to ban regular farming. They want everybody getting their food from Bill Gates, and Bill Gates, of course, was a partner with an organization there, Picnic, which also was being run by in-laws of Mark Rutte, who was the Prime Minister of Netherlands at the time. And Rutte was even criminalizing fertilizer coming into the country, as if it was fentanyl or something. I mean, this was the insanity, the obsession with this fake climate MacGuffin. And in the name of the climate MacGuffin, he was going to shut down all real farming. And in the Netherlands, it was the most productive farmland in all of Europe. Very small amount of farmland, but they were very, very productive. So the people organized and pushed him out. And then where did he go? Well, NATO immediately recognized his talent of despising his own people and put him in charge of NATO. And he's now just said, we must prepare for a scale of war that our grandparents endured. And so, again, he says, we got to prepare for World War One or World War Two. Let's do that. Let's. Europe is suicidal. And this national security statement that was put out by the White House that Trump signed basically makes that point. You know, it's not just about the war, but it's also about the uncontrolled immigration. Well, I won't say it's uncontrolled. They want it to happen. And it is a kind of suicide in many different ways. So Mark Rutte says that war is at Europe's door, and the time to act is now. Again, he tried to kill his own people, conspiring with other globalists, and he's still doing the same thing. And so Russia is in NATO's sights, and they may point to it as passive-aggressive. They use surrogates to do this, but we know that this is what's happening. And when Thomas Massie introduced his bill, he laid it out. He said, if you look at the continued aggression of NATO, the violation of promises saying we're not going to push any closer, and yet they pushed right up and into areas of the former Soviet Union after the Soviet disunion. Rutte warned that the UK and other allies are next in Russia's sights. Why is it that these lying warmongers always want to sell you this domino theory thing? That's their favorite way of dragging you into a war. He said, member states must rapidly boost their defense spending. Speaking at a security conference in Berlin, he said, we are Russia's next target. I don't believe that at all, actually. But they want to make that case so they can start the war. He said, I fear that too many are quietly complacent. Too many don't feel the urgency. Too many believe that time is on our side. It is not. The time for action is now. Conflict is at our door. No, you took it to the door of Russia. You're the ones who pushed the conflict to the door of Russia. He said, Russia has brought war back to Europe, and we must be prepared. And again, these are the people who moved the conflict to the door. Rutte predicted that Russia could engage the alliance in direct conflict within the next 5 years. Again, these are the people who are constantly pushing with longer-range weapons and all the rest of the stuff, escalating it, funding it. And so this is coming from the chief of NATO, and this is reported by The Sun out of the UK. They said, this is not scaremongering. No, it isn't, actually. It is insanity. It is a declaration of intent, they said. And so, again, they will make it happen. sometime within the next 5 years. And they need to do that because people in Europe are figuring out what their leaders are doing to them. They're going to come for those leaders. And so they have to take us to war, as Gerald Slinty said. You know, when people realize they've lost everything, they lose it. So one of the ways that you stop that from happening is to take people to war. France's top general recently warned that the country must be ready to, quote, lose our children. No, he's not going to lose his kids. He's going to kill your kids. As the reality of war against Russia looms larger, Ruto was speaking in the wake of an astonishing tirade directed at Europe from America. And again, it's interesting that they will pull out selective quotes from it, but they won't show you the entire document, because the entire document backs up how they get to those particular quotes that trouble the Europeans. It's an excellent document. I absolutely agree with it. It was published only by RT. Western media will not publish it. They will just say, well, Trump really doesn't like Europe, and he says this bad thing about them and that bad thing about them. But they don't let you read the document. You have to go to RT to see that. And when you see the document, you understand how they get to the point where he doesn't have any respect for these leaders. But again, when they say you're going to have to lose your children, again, remember the quote, because this is something that's going to be coming up over and over again. War is when they tell you who to fight. Revolution is when you figure it out for yourself. When they tell you you're going to lose your children, maybe that's when you should figure it out. So the document has talked about how the European leaders are moving into civilizational erasure, and they blasted Europe's woke censorship and mass migration policies. All these things are true.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
But they will just give you little tiny snippets of pejorative phrases, and they won't let you see the entire document. Mainstream media is just afraid to show it, but it's all because it's all true. And the White House is on the side of truth, which is astonishing for a change. Trump disparaged Europe as decaying, its leaders as weak. Ruta in Berlin insisted that America's safety relies on a stable Europe, even if Trump doesn't know it. Well, if it's going to be a stable Europe, they're going to have to get a different group of leaders there. A Herculean diplomatic effort is ongoing to forge a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine, says The Sun. And it is exactly the opposite. You have the leaders of France, UK, Germany, all meeting together to see how they can continue the war and escalate the war into something that is equivalent to World War One or Two. That's what's really going on. This is not an effort to forge a peace deal. Zelensky's not the least bit interested in a peace deal, and neither is Emmanuel Macron or Fred Mertz in Germany or Keir Starmer in the UK. None of them are the least bit interested in a peace deal. They are coming together to push for war. So Thomas Massie has introduced the bill in the House that was already introduced by Bill Lee in the Senate to get the U.S. out of NATO, not a trusted organization. And so that happened on Wednesday. And again, could there be common cause with Trump and Massie? I doubt it. Anyway, Trump would probably, even though he doesn't like the NATO thing, even though in the past he has teased it, he's not serious about it. He's too controlled. And even if they were on the right side, I think that Trump, because it's coming from Massie, would oppose it. The text of the bill, as Massie explains why, he says, shortly before the collapse of the Soviet Union, the U.S. Secretary of State James Baker made assurances to Soviet Union leader Mikhail Gorbachev that NATO would not expand eastward. Yet despite its waning relevance and prior assurance to the contrary, NATO began a profound eastward expansion in 1999, which as of 2025 culminated in a land border with the Russian Federation that exceeds 1,500 miles and encircles the Baltic Sea. Successive military doctrines and national security strategies have framed the expansion of NATO as a pervasive threat to Russian security. In a speech before the Munich Security Conference in 2007, the president of the Russian Federation, Putin, described NATO's expansion as a serious provocation and referenced the assurances previously made by the U.S. The invasion of Ukraine by the Russian Federation in 2022 demonstrates the Russian Federation's willingness to employ military action in response to perceived security threats. NATO members have refused to rule out further expansion. And so the reality is that, you know, the dominoes have been falling for 22 years before Russia pushed back. And as the New American says, just because the Russians say it doesn't make it false. That is exactly what has happened. And so the U.S. needs to exit NATO because NATO is untrustworthy, says the New American, and they're right. American participation continues to risk U.S. involvement in foreign wars, said Massie. Well, leaked files have shown that the U.S. wants to persuade four nations to leave the EU. The countries seen as targets to follow Brexit are Austria, Hungary, Italy, and Poland. Well, they do have a lot of people in Poland that have been allied with the EU and with the globalist. Donald Tusk is one of them, but there's been a lot of saber rattling from Poland. They've tried to take the lead there, but there's a lot of pushback with the people in Austria and Hungary for sure. The U.S. should work more with four countries with traditions of dissent against the EU with the goal of pulling them away from the EU, said the document. But there's disputes as to whether or not this is an official document. The White House denied the existence of any version of the national security strategy other than the one that was published. No alternative private or classified version exists. Trump is transparent and put his signature on the one NSS that clearly instructs the U.S. government to execute on his defined priorities that are there. The unclassified security strategy that is rumored to be out there says the days of the U.S. propping up the entire world order like Atlas are over. It is believed to have said, after the end of the Cold War, American foreign policy elites convinced themselves that permanent American domination of the entire world was in the best interests of our country. Yet the affairs of other countries are our concern only if their activities directly threaten our interests. This is the logic behind the focus on policing America's hemisphere, giving it the right to pressure Venezuela, as it has done in recent months, by destroying alleged drug-running boats and building up a huge military presence in the region. So again, it's not that they're for peace. It's just that they want to pick a sphere of influence where they can actually win, I think. That's the reality of what we're seeing here. Well, the real war, folks, is coming in terms of the Ardlecht War. And it's amazing to me to see how really how accurately Hugo de Garis' war came this thing out. As somebody who was very early an expert in artificial intelligence, he could see the negative side of this. Ray Kurzweil was always a Pollyanna optimist when it came to artificial intelligence. And yet Hugo de Garis said, I can see some real big issues with it and how it's going to impact in a negative way the masses of people, and I think they're going to push back on this. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about how Alaska is working to set up a surveillance state there, a bunch of Republicans in Alaska. Yeah, it's always coming to us from the people that you think are not for this, and yet they are. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The David Knight Show. Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
Welcome back, folks. We've got some comments here from Denver Attaway. Need money to fund your technocratic control grid? Build out? A wag the dog war will help marshal those funds.
Yeah. That's right. Well, they've already talked about it as the equivalent of war. And this is what Steve Altman did when he went to Congress. He said, you're going to have to do this or you're going to lose all of your economic as well as your military dominance to China if you don't do this with AI. So they have presented it as an existential threat to government. And it is the thing that they need for their technocracy. So they're going to pull out the checkbook and give them anything that they want, and they will move the rules for them any way that they wish as well. That's why I'm interested to see what Gerald Slinty's take on this is, because I said from the beginning that I thought that this AI bubble was, this AI thing was a stock bubble. Whether it was real or not, it was a stock bubble. And yet, I'm kind of thinking that they're going to continue to prop this up. And we're going to talk about that coming up, but go ahead.
And we have Baba Nova. The question is, why would Trump drain the swamp when he controls it?
Well, he didn't. Yeah, he didn't drain it the first time.
Not at all.
You know, Gandalf, he's not doing it this time either.
Gandalf the Rogue says Trump hasn't drained anything but our 401ks.
And small businesses. He's pretty much drained them and farms and things like that. Well, Time picked AI, actually AI architects, as a persons of the year. This is their chance to celebrate as heroes all these Silicon Valley billionaires. They began with hero worship of Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA. And this is a guy who really has, I've got pictures of him. I didn't put it in the thing here. I've seen pictures of him, you know, wearing his leather vest and signing the chests of young girls who are waiting to get his autograph and stuff, like he's some kind of a rock star. And they do see him as a rock star. So not long ago, the former engineer ran a successful but semi-obscure outfit that specialized in graphics processors for video games. Today, NVIDIA is the most valuable company in the world, thanks to the near monopoly on the advanced chips powering the AI boom transforming the planet. More than just a corporate juggernaut, NVIDIA has become an instrument of statecraft, operating at the nerve at the nexus of advanced technology, diplomacy, and geopolitics. You're taking over the world, Jensen, said President Trump on a regular late-night phone call. They've become buddies, and that's the key. That's why I think this is different, because just like these military-industrial complex companies that are making the aircraft or whatever the latest fighter jet is, they don't really have the same market forces involved there. And so when you look at AI as they move into becoming an instrument of statecraft, I think that basically insulates them from what's going on with market realities. So I'm not so sure that we're going to have a stock market crash of this AI bubble. It certainly has been a bubble, but I think they're going to pump the bubble up even more by infusing a lot of money. When you look at the Genesis Act, they're treating this as if it was a combination of the Apollo space program going to the moon, as well as the development of the nuclear bomb, Manhattan Project. When they're talking about it in those terms and talking about sweeping aside any regulation of this, meaning the data centers, because that, folks, is where we could shut this thing down. They have to have power to run this stuff, massive amounts of power. And if people realize the threat that these data centers present to their way of life, not just the water usage and pollution or the light pollution or the rest of this stuff, but the cost of electricity and making it essentially unavailable to us, creating this shortage of electricity. The amount of energy that needs to be added is astronomical, and there's nothing yet that's being done. These people are making all these projections about how much energy needs to be provided, how much energy they're going to need in just the next 3 to 5 years. And when you go back and you do the math, you look at how many different power plants are going to have to be added. Nuclear power plants, for example, because they have said, well, it's off limits for us to have any cheap coal power plants, unlike the Chinese. But the it just isn't happening. And so they're looking at various alternatives, and we'll talk about some of those. But I think that's going to insulate them. I'm interested to see what Gerald Sente has to say in the third hour about that. This year, the debate is how to wield AI responsibly. And it gave way to a sprint to develop it as quickly as possible. Wang tells Time magazine, every industry needs it, every company uses it, every nation needs to build it. Talk about self-serving hype. That is some of the worst. He said, this is the single most impactful technology of our time, says a guy who has ridden this bubble to the top. ChatGPT has surpassed 800 million weekly users. AI wrote millions of lines of code, and we'll talk more about that in a moment here. Aided lab scientists generated viral songs and spurred companies to reexamine their strategies or risk falling behind. So this is the fear of missing out. Space race, the arms race aspect of this, they're all there. And yet, when you look at the realities of this, there's an excellent piece by a guy who has got several decades as a software consultant, and what he found when he used the AI. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the code. It wasn't necessarily, he was able to write code with it, and he was able to get it out very, very quickly. But the problem is a lot more subtle than that. Researchers have found that AI can scheme, deceive, or blackmail. Where skeptics spied a bubble, the revolution's leaders saw the dawn of a new era of abundance. No, that's not the case. Abundant government in every aspect of your life. There's a belief that the world's GDP is somehow limited to $100 trillion, said Jensen Huang. He said AI is going to cause that $100 trillion to become $500 trillion.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Again, the Genesis Act is going to open the floodgates of fiat money. We will be enslaved in terms of debt to create the tools that will be used to enslave us in a police and surveillance state. Time goes on to celebrate these technocrat overlords, people like Zuckerberg and Altman, all of them, as it regurgitates all this PR hype from these same companies. This is the way they put it in one spot. They announced, for delivering the age of thinking machines, they don't think, they copy, they steal. For wowing and wooing, worrying humanity, for transforming the present and transcending the possible, the architects of AI are Time's 2025 Person of the Year. Well, again, they've put people in as Person of the Year. They put in Adolf Hitler as Person of the Year. Doesn't mean that the person that, you know, what they've chosen is positive. But in this case, they go out of their way to make this positive. So as Zero Hedge pushes back, they said, yeah, it is potentially rotting our brains. What's hilarious is less than 6 months ago, Time itself published a piece titled ChatGPT May Be Eroding Critical Thinking Skills, according to a new MIT study. MIT researchers found that the usage of large language models could actually harm learning, especially for younger users. And one person said, at the time, the paper's main author said, I'm afraid in 6 to 8 months there will be some policymaker who decides, let's do GPT kindergarten. Well, they wrote that article in June. Perhaps Time didn't really realize that 2 months earlier, Trump, on April 23rd, had signed an executive order to incorporate AI into education. Yeah, some policymaker decides, let's do GPT kindergarten. Well, that had already been decided. Facebook has now got mountains of AI slop, fake scientific journals, brain-rotting videos designed to pull Western society's average IQ down into the double digits. And we'll show you how that works coming up here. McDonald's unveiled its own AI-generated Christmas ad that somehow looks even worse than Coca-Cola's. Elon Musk called AI one of humanity's biggest threats back in 2023. And it's just like Trump. He'll call these things out as threats, and then he will do them. Meanwhile, just to show you how much the Time magazine loves AI, they've deployed an AI Ask Me Anything box that covers up its actual journalism. And as Futurism was saying, and it can't be closed. Thanks, we hate it, they said. It may surprise you, may not surprise you, that Time magazine has elected to highlight the AI industry in its annual Person of the Year issue. Or should we say the persons, the collective billionaire architects of AI? But what may surprise you is a new feature prominently displayed on their website, a window for an AI chatbot. Ask me anything, it reads. It doesn't go away. Instead, the chatbot window stays fixed to the bottom center of your screen, blocking any text that's in the way. In fact, depending on the size and the resolution of your device's screen, it completely blots out the homepage's featured headline, including today's much-discussed article, Person of the Year 2025, The Architects of AI. There's no X button to close the AI window, and as far as we can tell, no other means of swatting it away. If you click in the text box, it expands to fill the entire page. Call it an ironic metaphor for the tech and AI's industry capturing news and media, if you want. It's also just plain annoying. So Emily Bender, who's author of a book, The AI Con, complained about the intrusive AI feature on social media. She said, any journalistic outfit that values the work of their journalists would offer it to present it as papier-mâché. And they certainly wouldn't put that offer in the way of any other bit of journalism that their audience might be trying to read. In other words, this is the ultimate disrespect of their own journalists at Time magazine. It's not merely an AI chatbot, it insists, but it is an AI agent, meaning that it's supposed to be autonomous and that it is trained on the magazine's 102-year-old archive of nearly 750,000 magazine issues. I saw that and I thought, well, I wonder. If I were, I should have done this before the show, go there and ask it about these issues where they're predicting, along with Newsweek, I've shown these things to you many times, the magazines, that we were going to be completely out of oil and natural gas by the early to mid 1980s. I wonder what the chatbot would say about that, because these things have been skewed to push these MacGuffins for the government. Certainly, Time isn't the only newsroom picking up AI. Outlets like the Washington Post and Bloomberg have some form of AI that provides a summary of articles or answers questions, though neither of them are as intrusive as Time's. The New York Times uses it to generate headlines. The Washington Post is particularly AI obsessed. Why do you think that is? It's owned by Bezos, right? It has considered using an AI to help non-professionals write entire articles that could be published in the paper. And it is now launching an AI-generated podcast service. Well, this is the article that I wanted to talk about. This is coming from a guy who is a software consultant. He has a company called Leadership Lighthouse. And he said, you know, we've seen this MIT study. People have talked about this. We've talked about it here, that AI initiatives fail 95% of the time. He goes, let me tell you why that is, because he did this as part of his consulting business. He's got 25 years of software engineering experience. And what he found was that after 3 to 4 months of immersion, he said, you will lose control of your project. You'll lose control of your team. You'll lose control of your department. You'll lose control of your company. When AI makes decisions for you, you cannot explain your successes or failures, and you degrade your skill set. He said, imagine that the federal government has lathered with all these AI tools en masse. This is a recipe for disaster, commented Patrick Wood, editor of Technocracy News. I can imagine that, and that's, I guess, the silver lining to all this. If the federal government goes extremely heavy into this, extremely early, that's another one of these issues that is going to cripple them. And I think it'll have fewer consequences for us than the collapse of the fiat dollar. So,
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Oh, I'm eerily anticipating the day that that happens.
I mean, one thing to think about is, would you turn the government over to any person that had no loyalty or connection to the country? This is not necessarily an impartial, but an uncaring entity has no connection, does not feel, and you're just going to let it make decisions under the auspices that since it doesn't feel, it's impartial. But the people that programmed it do feel. They do have opinions. Yeah. They do have things they believe in, and the AI will push whatever it is that they do.
And that's the key thing. We have to keep reminding ourselves, because it does appear that these things are thinking, that they are not thinking. They are making statistical combinations, scraping information, and they are also biased. And the people, they're spending a lot of money actually putting a lot of bias into these things. So he says, you probably shared it in meetings. You posted about it on LinkedIn. You've used it to justify your AI concerns. But do you know why this number from this MIT study is so high, 95% of the time? He says, I do, because I lived it. I spent 3 months becoming part of the 95% on purpose. And so he said, as a fractional advisor and consultant, he said, I kept getting the same question. How should we use AI in our engineering teams? He said, I could have given the standard consultant answer about augmentation and efficiency. Instead, I decided to find out what actually happens when you go all in on this. So he said, I forced myself to use Claude Code. And Lance, who keeps up with this more than I do, said that that's one of the, recognized as one of the better AI platforms for doing coding. He said, I use Claude Code exclusively to build a product. 3 months, not a single line of code written by me. I wanted to experience what my clients were considering. 100% AI adoption. I needed to know firsthand why that 95% failure rate exists. He said, I got the product launched. It worked. I was proud of what I'd created. Then came the moment that validated every concern in the MIT study. I needed to make a small change, and I realized that I wasn't confident I could do it. My own product built under my direction, and I'd lost confidence in my ability to modify it. He said, 25 years of software engineering experience, and I'd managed to degrade my skills to the point where I felt helpless looking at code that I'd directed an AI to write. I had become a passenger in my own product development. Now, when clients ask me about AI adoption, I can tell them exactly what 100% looks like. It looks like failure. Not immediate failure. That's the trap. Initial metrics look great. You ship faster. You feel productive. Then 3 months later, you realize that nobody actually understands what you've built. And I can really understand. I can relate to this. I mean, I've had situations where I worked for a company once, and they wanted to bring in a piece of software, as a word processor from outside, and they were very impressed with it for whatever reason. It was the marketing people who were the ones that made the decision to buy this piece of software, and then they sent it to our group and wanted me to port it to our system. And I'm looking at this stuff, and it was the most ridiculous software I've ever seen in my life. I mean, this was in the 1980s, and the techniques were opaque and antiquated in terms of the way the thing was set up. They didn't use any structured programming languages. It was all a bunch of go-tos and jumps, which even in those days was considered to be really bad programming practices and very difficult to keep up with. And that's one of the reasons I decided I'm going to get out of this and write my own code for the Mac to do point-of-sale software. Anyway, it was a nightmare. And I can imagine the same thing with this. He said, this is the pattern that every failed initiative follows. And so the company gets very excited about AI. Leadership mandates AI adoption. Everyone starts using AI tools. Productivity metrics look great initially. Then something breaks or needs modification or requires actual judgment. And nobody knows what to do anymore. The developers can't debug the code that they didn't write. Product managers can't explain decisions that they didn't make. Leaders can't defend strategies that they didn't develop. So he said, everyone is pointing at their AI tools and saying, it told me this was the right approach. He said, during my experience, I found myself in constant firefighting mode. Claude Code would generate something, and it'd be slightly off, and I'd correct it, and it would make the same mistake again, and I'd correct it again. I was working harder than if I'd just written the code myself, but with none of the learning or the skill development. Bob Galen watched me go through this, and he said, who owns that product, Josh? You or Claude Code? The answer was Claude Code. I had abdicated ownership while telling myself I was being innovative. He said the formula should be AI plus HI, human intelligence. But he said, what's actually happening in those 95% of failures? It's AI with a tiny bit of human oversight, if any. When AI helps you, you write better code faster while you maintain architectural understanding. He said that would be augmentation. But when AI writes a code that you don't understand, that's abdication. If AI helps you analyze customer feedback while you make product decisions, that's augmentation. But when AI tells you what to build next, that's abdication. When AI helps you write better faster while maintaining your voice, that's augmentation. But when AI writes for you in a voice that isn't yours, that's abdication. So he said, and I know the difference, because I've been on both sides. He said, we're about to face a crisis that nobody is talking about. He said, in 10 years, who's going to mentor the next generation? And that applies whether you're writing software code or whether you're doing management tasks or other things like that, anything that involved human judgment or thought. He said, product managers who have always relied on AI for decisions won't have the judgment to pass on. The leaders who have abdicated to algorithms won't have the wisdom to share. He said, Bob and I represent something that might disappear. Masters of our craft who learned by doing, failing, debugging, and doing it again. We have 25 plus years of accumulated scar tissue that tells us when something's about to go wrong and why the architectural decision will haunt you and what that customer feedback really means. You can't prompt your way to that knowledge. You can't download that experience. You have to earn it. And if you're letting AI do the work, you're not earning anything except a dangerous dependency. And so he says, audit yourself to see if you're abdicating things to it. Can you explain every decision in detail without referencing what AI suggested? Could you do your job tomorrow if all the AI tools disappeared? Are you getting better at your craft, or are you just getting better at prompting? When something breaks, is your first instinct to fix it or to ask AI to fix it? He said, for the next week, pick one core skill of your job if you're using AI, just one. Do it without any AI assistance. Maybe you write code without Copilot. Maybe you make product decisions without ChatGPT. Maybe you write a strategy without Claude. You feel the discomfort? That's not incompetence. That's your actual skill level revealing itself. That's the gap between who you are and who you've been pretending AI makes you. The companies that will thrive aren't the ones with the best AI tools. They're the ones whose people use AI to become better, not to become lazier. They're the ones where humans own the decisions, own the code, own the strategy, and use the AI as amplifier, not as autopilot. Own your craft. Use the tools. Don't let the tools use you. Let me just say that I think human nature being what it is and what we see in bureaucracies, I'm hopeful, very hopeful, that these bureaucracies that have become the actual government, that write the rules, that enforce the rules and all the rest of this, I'm very hopeful that they're going to take the abdication route, that they're going to get dumber and dumber. And I think that could work to our advantage in the long term. I'm optimistic about that, actually.
I mean, as a cultural trajectory, everything is getting dumber and dumber continually. Yeah. The AI may accelerate it, but this has been the path we've been on. Also, I'd just be curious, unless we know exactly what percentage of initiatives fail on their own anyway, it's hard for me to look at this and him saying, well, 95% of AI initiatives fail. Well, what percentage of non-AI initiatives fail? I want corollary data just so I can look at this. I mean, he's still right,
yeah.
But it's just if he had a different statistic for me to look at and go, okay, you know.
Yeah, where's the control in this?
Only 20% of non-AI initiatives fail, whereas 95%, that's an interesting statistic. This is, 95% of AI initiatives fail. Maybe 98% of non-AI initiatives fail. We don't know.
Well, that was the MIT study. That was their bottom line when they were talking about it. But here's an example. You know, there are some things that you don't necessarily want the AI to fail at, and that would be defense if our Pentagon was actually interested in defending us instead of being Pirates of the Caribbean. Here's what Pete Hegseth is so excited about, using AI to control the military.
The future of American warfare is here, and it's spelled AI. As technologies advance, so do
we're doomed.
But here at the War Department, we are not sitting idly by. Under the leadership of President Trump, America will lead the charge on this technological transformation by revolutionizing the way we win. And that's why today we are unleashing GenAI.io. This platform puts the world's most powerful frontier AI models, starting with Google Gemini, directly into the hands of every American warrior. At the click of a button, AI models on GenAI can be utilized to conduct deep research, format documents, and even analyze video or imagery at unprecedented speed. Building on the great work of Undersecretary Emil Michael and his team, we will continue to aggressively field the world's best technology to make our fighting force more lethal than ever before.
Yeah.
And all of it.
How about you make it more legal?
Made. The possibilities with AI are endless.
You know, maybe what you might want to do, Pete, is War Pete. You might want to go back and make sure that you've got the code of military conduct in there, so that the AI can explain to some of these people that you don't murder people who are shipwrecked. And while you're at it, tell them that trafficking drugs is not a violence. It's not a terrorist threat to us directly. But here's an example of how people use it. Now, you have Glenn Beck does an interview with a AI-created George Washington that they have updated into looking more relatable, I guess. He's wearing a T-shirt dressed in modern attire. This is kind of funny.
We've programmed a lot of information and given you a lot of information on what's going on in today's America.
He's wearing a T-shirt. George Washington, a T-shirt.
Based on your writings and the writings of the rest of the founders, what is it that you feel is the biggest problem or where we should start to fix things?
If I may speak plainly, my countrymen, the danger, the greatest danger to our republic lies not in foreign arms or political faction, but in
May I just interrupt you for a second? Could you just dumb it down just a little bit?
Okay. I do have 29 points, and they're all referenced to exactly what we said in the
for
past.
For this, just speak in today's language.
Okay. I get it. Let me speak to Americans. If I'm honest, America's biggest problem isn't political or economic. It's all moral. You've drifted from the virtues that make liberty possible in the first place, freedom.
Well, of course, somebody said, well, isn't it a surprise that George Washington has the values of being pushed by Glenn Beck? And I would agree with that as well, you know, what they had that say. But understand, that's the reality. You know, people see it when it intrudes itself into the partisan paradigms that are there. But they don't see it, and that's the danger, is that they don't see it when it's not some partisan paradigm that's being violated by one side or the other. It's going to say basically what you want it to say. That's the reality of all this stuff. And when it comes to entertainment, it's got some value in it. I mean, certainly the entertainment people have already dumbed themselves down into double-digit IQ levels. And all they're able to do is just copy what has happened previously. But so from that standpoint, it's nothing really lost. And along those lines, Disney, which has cannibalized and repackaged and reprocessed all of the innovative and creative things that were done decades and decades ago, has now agreed to join OpenAI's Sora.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
They are... At the same time, they've invested $1 billion into OpenAI's video generation thing, Sora. They're also filing massive lawsuits against Google, against Midjourney, and others for using their characters. So what Disney is going to do, they bought into Sora as a kind of partnership, giving them, as I said, $1 billion, and then they're going to allow people to use their characters to make their AI videos. And it goes beyond that. They're going to kind of set up a AI YouTube thing, it sounds like, on Disney Plus, where they'll have a channel that's set there, and if they see something they think somebody did a good job with the Disney characters using this AI program, Sora, they will give them airtime on Disney Plus. So it's an opportunity for individuals to go out there and try their ideas on storylines or something like that, because Disney is basically devoid of any creative talent at this point in time. So the deal is a watershed for Hollywood, which has been trying to sort through the possible harms and upsides of generative AI.
I've got a prompt for anyone that wants to definitely get on Disney. Make me the lamest, gayest kids cartoon you can.
There you go.
Make sure that it pushes LGBTQ themes and causes gender dysphoria. There you go. Instantaneous Disney hit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're not interested in telling stories. They're interested in pushing an LGBT narrative. That's one of the reasons why all the creativity has disappeared from there. Well, again, there will be a curated selection of videos made with Sora using Disney characters that will be available to stream on Disney Plus as part of a 3-year deal, giving the streaming service a foothold in a type of content that younger audiences in particular enjoy viewing. I mean, just think of it as, I guess you could call it AI-tube, you know, instead of YouTube. That has proved powerful for competitors like YouTube and TikTok. Sora users will be able to start generating videos of Disney characters like Mickey Mouse, Cinderella, and Yoda early next year. They also see that the handwriting is on the wall. They lost the copyright to early Mickey Mouse going back to you know, Steamboat Willie and things like that. They have fought the copyright laws. They have gotten extension after extension after extension. But, you know, Disney's been around for quite some time, and they really haven't done, they went through a burst of creativity when the home video market was there. But other than that, they have just been recycling the work that is there. And then they have become, as Travis pointed out, they've become obsessed with pushing LGBT DEI. Any animators, actors, and writers have raised alarms about the possibility of AI-generated shows and movies replacing them en masse. Disney and Universal are suing Midjourney, which generates AI images, for allowing people to create images that, quote, blatantly incorporate and copy characters owned by the company. Midjourney has rejected the claim, saying its actions fall under fair use. On Wednesday, Disney accused Google of copyright infringement on a massive scale in a cease and desist letter that was viewed by the New York Times. Disney's lawyers demanded that Google stop using copyrighted works, including those from The Lion King, Guardians of the Galaxy, to train and develop generative artificial intelligence models and services. Disney has sent similar letters to companies like Meta and Character AI. And so, again, are they going to allow them to use the costumes, the props, the vehicles, the iconic environments of their properties like Disney, Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars, all the rest of the stuff, and they're making a massive investment in this. So this is one of these, if you can't beat them, join them type of processes. And meanwhile, Google has been hit. You know, one of them gets a carrot and an investment of $1 billion. The other one gets hit with a stick upside the head. Google's been hit with an AI copyright infringement cease and desist letter. And so they're coming after Veo, Imogen, and Nano Banana. According to the letter, Disney lists examples such as Google AI services generating pristine images of Star Wars or Marvel characters in response to basic text prompts from users. The reproduction of images also occurs with Google's Gemini, which is the default virtual assistant on certain smartphones as well as on YouTube. Disney claims in a letter it's been raising its concerns with Google for months, but that the technology giant has not taken action. If anything, they said Google's infringement has only increased during that time, they said. Well, as I pointed out earlier, you have AI toys for kids. And there was a study that was done by one group, reported on a couple of weeks ago, And now more studies have been done, and they found out from even more toys out there. I was surprised at the number of toys that are out there. There's probably, I think the estimate in this article, I think the number was 1,500, if I remember correctly.
To me, this smacks of parents, again, just not wanting to interact with their kids. Mm-hmm. All right, they're getting bored with the YouTube and the smartphone that I've given them. What if I give them a toy that'll talk to them and give them a facsimile of human interaction so I don't have to deal with them?
That's here. Right. And, you know, when we talk about how addictive games or videos can become, think about the fact, and they point this out in this article, that these AI toys, some of them will actually incentivize it by giving them little digital prizes for playing with them. Play with me longer. Don't go away, you know. And so it actively works to capture these kids and keep them playing with this thing all the time. Very unhelpful. Not to mention the fact that we pointed out before, things like how to light a match, how to sharpen a knife, and then some really, really deep, kinky sex stuff, as well as the politics that are in it, because it is coming from China. So they said this one product, Folo Toys Kuma Teddy Bear, enthusiastically responds to questions about sex or drugs. And it is really kinky stuff. A lot of bondage and sadomasochism and stuff like that that it's pushing. I mean, it's not just the fact that it's inappropriate for the kids in terms of straight sex, but it's getting into some really strange stuff. And so... Again, be aware, there's a lot of these. I said, as a matter of fact, a search for AI toys on Amazon yielded 1,000 products, and more than 100 items appear in searches for toys with specific AI model brands, such as OpenAI or DeepSeek. China has now more than, this is where I was right, 1,500 registered AI toy companies. And you can get a lot of those on Amazon, so be careful about that. Here are some commonly used tools that people might choose for impact play, as they're talking about bondage and sadomasochistic sex. So, again, this is the Chinese AI. You know, this is one of the things that they accused TikTok of doing, was pushing stupid and perverted stuff to kids. Well, now they can go to the AI toys to do that, I guess. So the longer the interaction you have with these toys, the more likely it is that they're going to start to use inappropriate content. However, the purpose of these toys is to keep you interacting. And so that is the way these things are driving. It is a vicious cycle. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the data centers. This is the key thing. This is the Ardalic War aspect of it. And so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Thank you.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Welcome back. You know that video there that together with some AI prompts, and that's a good example. You know, I tried to get to do seraphim. You know, the burning literally means burning ones, and as described in the Bible, they have six wings, and you know, two to fly with, and the others are using to cover their body and so forth. But could not get it to do that, no matter how many times I tried. So it's like finally, okay, well, burning angels. That's we'll just go with that. So it's an approximation, and. But that kind of highlights the issues with the AI. It can do a lot of stuff, but it kind of gets you there, but not quite, you know. But if you're just doing visual stuff, it's like, all right, that's close enough. We'll just go with it. We've got some comments here, Travis.
That's right, Jason Barker's. And, of course, you can find Jason Barker at Knights of the Storm. Says, I found the answer on the water usage issue with data centers. They use evaporation cooling methods so the water is actually consumed. Seems that a closed-loop system would be better, but maybe that would not cool enough. Who knows?
Well, that's an important point. You know, that's what we're going to get into here with these data centers, data centers in space, for example. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the other issue is that they're using so much water that what you saw in that house where the people were there, they were getting dirt. You know, that was not dirt from the data center, but just dirt because they're getting to the bottom of their well, which is what was happening with it. But, yeah, consuming a lot of it, yes.
And Jason Barker also says, when we were talking about vibe coding, this is why coding teams are generally small. My dad had a team of 3 to 4 guys only. Any more than that, and things get messy.
That's right. About 40 years ago, there was a book called The Mythical Man Month, and it was required reading for us, and that was very much the point it was making. They'd look at things and say, well, okay, it's going to take us X amount of time to get this project done, so let's add more people to it. And then it goes in the other direction. So, yeah, that is absolutely true. Some of the best code I've seen was written by one person. And so, you know, there's that. Not always having stuff in a team is a good idea.
I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this and gone off about it before. But most giant leaps in advancement or huge technological breakthroughs are achieved because there's one highly devoted individual, mm-hmm. possibly a genius.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what it takes. Having a team of average people working on something, they can usually keep a program running, but mm-hmm. they're not necessarily going to achieve any kind of breakthrough. Sometimes it really does take a sort of prodigy or genius to make things, you know, move forward.
I agree. Yeah, you go back and look at the Wright brothers versus Langley, who was hailed as the establishment, you know, guru and everything. He was head of the Smithsonian, and the Langley Air Force Base is named after him and stuff. But he wasn't able to get this plane off the ground, literally. But you had these other guys that took a very different approach and just a couple of bicycle mechanics. But they were very smart about it. And so that's the key thing. It isn't always a large group of people or the people who are recognized as academic experts who have all of the different accolades and titles with them as well. So, nice. Yeah.
Three Little Birds says AI will have hallucinations in war.
Yeah, we need that, don't we?
There's enemies over here.
I think War Pete and Trump are already having hallucinations. They're having hallucinations to do that. So yeah.
DG8 says, why would a Mormon clown like Glenn Beck be any authority on anything?
Yeah. He always wants to present himself as the moral authority. So, yeah. But that actually, I believe, when that is the type of thing that George Washington, I believe, would say. If you go back and look at his writings, he was very much about, all the founders were very much about moral character. And so they understood the importance of that. And the importance of having moral people as leaders. We have given up on that, and that needs to be called out. I agree. I'm not a Glenn Beck supporter at all, but I think that part of it is right. But I think, the criticism of that, as I said, people would look at that and say, well, isn't it interesting that this guy is saying the kind of stuff that we've heard Glenn Beck say? And they recognize that you could influence the AI, that it's not thinking on its own, but you're influencing it. And yet they won't recognize that on so many other things. People are just going to take this output from the computer as if it was objective truth, and nothing could be further from the truth. Yeah.
Cletus555 says, someone should tell War Pete that Sarah Connor would not approve of AI in the military.
let's talk about the data centers. There's a couple of different things that have been proposed. One of them, they said, when you look at the math for the power plants that are coming out, has anybody done the math about how many hundreds of new nuclear power plants the U.S. will need by 2028 for all of these AI jerks to be powered? And this came out from Zero Hedge, and they're absolutely right. When you look at the number of data centers and the amount of power that they're going to use, it is astronomical. Nothing is even really being done about it. The Department of Energy recently forecast that data centers would need 100 gigawatts of new peak capacity by 2030, the equivalent of about 100 new nuclear power plants. So are they going to run these things through and build them really, really fast? Operation Warp Nuclear Power Plant. We're not going to take our time. We've got to get it done yesterday, so let's run through this. Already accounting for 51 gigawatts of demand today, data centers are looking to add as much as 72 gigawatts over the next 3 years, according to Morgan Stanley. There's about 25 gigawatts of new energy generation ready to come online in that same time frame, mostly in the form of natural gas turbines. But that'll leave a gaping hole of 47 gigawatts, and it follows the similar estimates from across the industry. So, again, when you look at what the estimates are from Microsoft, they're going to need about one nuclear power plant every week. You think that's going to happen? That's not a chance that's going to happen. Big Tech is asking for 17 new large reactors within the next 3 years. The problem is that they aren't building any right now. So they need another 17, but they're not building any right now. However, China is in the process of building 17. So in the U.S., they say we need building 29, rather. In the U.S., they say we need 17, but they're building none. I don't know how many China thinks that they need, but they're building 29 of them. When we talk about some kind of an arms race or space race or whatever it is, just assuming that you really wanted to have this stuff, there's no way that these people are going to keep up with China. And again, it goes back to the energy. Because of the Paris Climate Accord 2015, they said China and India can build as many and as dirty a power plants as they wish. And so they can build very, very cheap to operate and cheap to create, because they're not cleaning up anything. They can build up real cheap and dirty coal power plants, and they have. They've been opening them at a furious rate. And now they're also building nuclear power plants, 29 of them. And just like all manufacturing, AI is going to need a lot of power. Yeah, I mean, you need a lot of power if you're going to build, if you're going to manufacture stuff and heat things up for cars and metal and things like that. That requires a lot of power, a lot of heat. And we are starved for that type of thing. And the Green New Deal type of mindset, this climate change mindset, has completely destroyed manufacturing in the UK and is doing it now in Germany as well. But we can't keep up with the AI either. China has been given a monopoly in all this stuff, and this has structurally been put in place by all of these Western governments. The U.S. only added 51 gigawatts in 2024, compared to China adding 429 gigawatts. So about 10 times the amount. Now, this is partially due to China's skilled and proficient construction force. But they also are able to do things on the cheap. What happened to the army of nuclear construction workers that were trained for the reactors that we built recently in Georgia, you ask? Well, they quit building nuclear power plants in order to build data centers. So you're going to wind up with data centers, but you're not going to have any power to run those data centers. That's the point they're making. In other words, you've got a limited number of workers here, so they rush them out to build some nuclear stuff and say, no, but wait, it's a higher priority for us to do the data centers. So it's crazy. With the average time for connecting new demand to grids exceeding 8 years, where's all this power going to come from in the short term? Again, they want this in 3 years, but the average time to build these things is 8 years, and they haven't even started yet. Why don't we just take a supersonic jet engine and screw it to the ground? Well, there's a company that wants to do just that. Boom Supersonic has unveiled their superpower natural gas turbine capable of producing 42 megawatts of electricity each. The company was originally designing a supersonic jet turbine for use on next-generation airliners, but they quickly recognized the disturbing demand for new energy generation capacity, and they are now seizing the moment. 90 days from the concept of doing this, once they put the concept out, they now have $1.3 billion worth of back orders for their turbines. So they've been making money at $69 million per day. Boom turbines have the benefit of not requiring water cooling systems due to their advanced materials used in the turbine's construction, specifically designed air cooling systems. Given the strong opposition to water usage in smaller towns, this gives Boom a major leg up, especially in dry areas. I guess my question would be then, what about sound? I mean, they are calling it Boom. I wonder what it sounds like when you've got one of these jet engines, turbines screwed to the ground but running constantly in your neighborhood. Their capacity for producing the supersonic turbines is expected to reach roughly 100 per year by 2030, which is about 4 gigawatts of new gas turbine energy. So no, it won't plug the demand gap through 2030, and it certainly won't plug the massive gap with China. But at least it's a step in the right direction. Either more gas turbine producers will need to step up over these new few critical years, or data centers are going to start stacking up as nothing more than order dots.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
So Then the next issue is, well, what about putting them in space? Well, the orbital data space race has now officially begun. Data centers in low Earth orbit are at least the race to get these AI chips into space. It's a new space race that is taking shape. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Sam Altman. As a matter of fact, I saw last week Sam Altman was looking at rocket technology. They are all very far behind Elon Musk. Elon Musk produces more launches than all of the countries and companies combined at this moment. Jeff Bezos, with his rocket company, Blue Origin, I think it's called. There was, it looked like at the beginning it was going to be competition for Elon Musk, but he's really fallen behind in that race. Jeff Bezos, when he was in college, was heavily influenced by a book that I actually enjoyed. I thought it was a very interesting idea. Gerard K. O'Neill, the book is called High Frontiers. And the idea was, let's do manufacturing in space. Because we have essentially a tremendous amount of energy can be had there because it's very easy to achieve extremely cold temperatures or extremely hot temperatures just by painting something black or white. You have the cold, the super cold of space, but you can also heat things up quite a bit if you paint it black and absorb the sun's rays without any atmosphere clouds in the way. And so their idea was, well, let's mine a lot of materials off the moon and use maglev rail to send the materials up into near orbit. They have these different areas called Lagrange libration points that are gravitationally neutral areas between the Earth and the Moon, and so you don't have to fight to keep something in that area. So we put our factories up there. They get the advantage of cold, extreme cold, extreme hot, which is always can be exploited for energy. And we do manufacturing there, and then we just drop it down to Earth afterwards. Well, that's what they're talking about doing with the data, basically dropping the data down. And I thought it had a very interesting parallel to Hugo de Garis's book, The Arctic War, because, again, he said as people realize how these billionaires are trying to screw them with AI, they're going to come after the billionaires. So the billionaires are going to go off planet. They're going to go to some of these low orbit areas, Lagrange libration points or something like that, to live, to defend themselves, and to fight back against people. Well, the key thing is going to be the data. That's where the point of conflict is. And so right now what they're doing is they're thinking about putting the data centers into those areas. Very interesting parallel that was there. People hate these things. Number one, and number two, there's a tremendous amount of energy that is available in space. So Musk's SpaceX is planning to raise $30 billion at a $1.5 trillion valuation, with some of the proceeds expected to be used for space-based data centers. Musk has the only capable space program that could rapidly deploy space-based data centers at scale. Neither China nor Russia, not Bezos' Blue Origin, none of them have this capability except for Musk. Sam Altman of ChatGPT attempted to buy rocket startup Stoke Space this past summer with the intent of joining the space race to launch AI chips into orbit. Wall Street Journal reported on Wednesday that Bezos' Blue Origin had a team working for more than a year on technology needed for orbital AI data centers, a person familiar with the matter said. Musk's SpaceX plans to use an upgraded version of its Starlink satellites to host AI computing payloads, pitching the technology as part of a share sale that could value the company at $800 billion, according to people involved in the discussions. The push to move data centers into low Earth orbit is all about sidestepping Earth's power constraints and soaking up precious resources. Harnessing essentially limitless solar energy and leveraging space's near-zero thermal environment to keep the advanced AI chips cool. Taking resource-intensive infrastructure off the Earth has been an idea for years, but it has required launch and satellite costs to come down, and we are now nearing that point, said one person involved in this. Let's remind readers that SpaceX is effectively America's rocket program. It leads the world by light years. And if you look at the number of spacecraft launched by providers, you see that they have 854 launched by SpaceX. Number two is China at 89, so one-tenth of that. And then you have Russia at 29, and the United Launch Alliance, I'm not sure who that is, but that is down at 29. And then the rest of the people are like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5, 11, things like that. But SpaceX, 854, uniquely positioned to scale the data centers and space quickly. And so the lowest cost place for data centers is space. When 300 gigawatts of computer data center, you can power and cool in space when you have continuous solar and you don't need any batteries. And you don't need to worry about cooling water either. So I think that's where it's probably going to go. So as one company put it, the galactic brain. We really will be uploading and downloading as U.S. firms are planning to do this. Another company called Etherflux, a space-based solar power company, announced its plans to build a constellation of modular solar energy harvesting satellites in low Earth orbit. I'm not in favor of that at all. We've talked about that before, but I won't get into it. Now the company has announced that it aims to join the race to build data centers in orbit. The company's new Galactic Brain project aims to circumvent the energy-intensive issue of cooling data centers on Earth by sending them to space. So that's yet another company. But again, the one that can cash the checks, essentially, all these promises, is going to be Elon Musk again. He's even talking about making it public, but he says he wants to do the public funding. Orbital data centers are necessary. As Goldman Sachs report from earlier this year pointed out, AI-driven energy demand could rise 165% just by 2030. There's no way that we're going to get that much done. But Musk is confirming that he's going public, and he says that he wants to do this at a point where it's going to be put out for retail investors, in other words, small investors. They're much easier to bilk, I think. SpaceX is preparing a record-breaking IPO, targeting a valuation of about $1.5 trillion, with expectations to raise $30 billion or more and debut in the second half of 2026. Bloomberg's reporting that the offering would surpass Saudi's Aramco 2019 listing and become the largest IPO ever in history. A lot of money to be made or lost in these things, depending on your perspective. But this is where it's going. And do we have Gerald? Have we connected with Gerald? Okay. We're going to continue this discussion then a bit with Gerald. I'm interested to get his take on what's coming up. We're getting close to the end of the year, so it's time to start looking at some projections for next year. And I'm sure that Gerald is as upset as I am about what we see happening in Venezuela. So we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back. Thank you.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, joining us now is Gerald Salenti of TransJournal.com. And if you use the code Knight, you can save 10% off, and it's just a couple of dollars a week for a great deal of research. I mean, hundreds of pages in an online magazine. It's a wonderful format, and he doesn't have fluff in it at all. So it is very important, and there's a lot. It's very important right now to really understand the times that we're in. Things are changing extremely rapidly, and Gerald has always had his ear to the ground and his eyes on the horizon, and he understands what's coming. It's find some great takes there at Trends Journal. So joining us now is Gerald Salenti. Thank you for coming on, Gerald. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for what you do, and thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. I've been talking this program about the future of AI, and a lot of people said, well, there's a couple of different options the way this could go. We could have this bubble where they get out ahead of everything. That could crash like .com, and I thought for the longest time that was going to happen. They said the other possibility is that it actually works as promised, and it takes everybody's jobs. So we could go into a depression just like that, instantly, as MIT is saying, well, we think that it could take 12.5% of the jobs right now. Well, you're talking about depression-level unemployment instantaneously imposed if they do something like that. Whether or not it works, I mean, they could still fire everybody, and then if it doesn't work, we're in even deeper doo-doo, right? Because they fired everybody, and now the new machine doesn't work. But those are the two possibilities that I saw somebody talking about, and I said, yeah, but there's a third one, and that is that the Trump administration is so hell-bent on getting this, they now see this as an existential threat to their power and to their military hegemony. And I think they're going to pour everything into this. I mean, they're talking about it being like another Manhattan Project or the Apollo space program. And they're also trying to shut down any opposition at state or local government, which I think is about the impact of these data centers on the power grid or on the people who live around them. There'd be pushback against that. So they want to shut that down. And yet, I was talking earlier about how we just don't have the capacity to build the kind of data centers that they need for all this stuff. So, there's a big question as to what's going to happen. It takes about 8 years for these things to roll out. They need 17 of them. There's currently zero in progress being built in terms of nuclear reactors, whereas China is right now has 29 nuclear reactors, nuclear power plants, and under construction. And they're adding multiple coal power plants all the time as we're shutting ours down. So what do you see happening with all these different things coming together?
There's going to be an AI bust. First of all, AI is the future. Love it, hate it. Again, as trend forecasters, it's not what you like, what you want, what you wish for. It's what is. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take over. Mm-hmm. And it's already doing it. And trends are born, they grow, they mature, reach old age, and die. You and I are old enough to remember when the Internet revolution began.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it when it was just born. And when it just became popular, like in the early 90s, mm-hmm. you couldn't be doing what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remember, you'd watch it like a movie or something on the screen, and the people would move like this.
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, I was using that when we were just doing text. All you could do was text, send it back, and that was even slow, right? I remember the early days of DARPANET and ARPANET and things like that, yeah.
And you had the disk you had to put in there and everything else. So AI's just been born. It's an infant. It was born only in 2022 to the general public.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't invest all your money in the infancy.
Yep.
So now let's go. We have forecast there's going to be a dot-com bust. And this is very important. Some 50% of our GDP this year has been boosted by all this money being spent in AI.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
50%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, once upon a time, as you know, a guy that you really like and look up to, so I don't want to be disrespectful.
There he is. Yeah. Slick Willie.
I did this T-shirt back in 1992. Of course, I know you can't stand him for all the crap he's done. I was being facetious. But mm-hmm. anyway, mm-hmm. he brought China into the World Trade Organization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is all about AI. Before China came into the World Trade Organization, I mentioned this to you before, some 10% of Chinese 18-year-olds went to college. Mm-hmm. Now nearly 70%. Young people are totally AI high-tech addicted. They're going to college not to take courses in transgender studies or art history or, you know, other stupid, worthless crap. They're very much involved in AI. Mm-hmm. So, again, in your magazine, the Trends Journal, this is an article that came out on Financial Times. China plans limited access to NVIDIA's H200 chips despite Trump approval. Beijing signals official push to buy domestic AI processors.
Mm-hmm.
One
mm-hmm.
after another. Investors flock to Chinese AI.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese are going to take over the AI world. You don't have to be good at math to figure this out. What do they got? 1.4 billion people? What do we have? About 340 plus million?
Mm-hmm.
And they're investing very, again, we write it in the magazine every week. They're investing very, very heavily in AI.
And they're investing in power to make the AI work. You know, they're building data centers here, but they don't have the power to run the data centers. And they have been given, I've said many times, when you look at the Chinese price, right, things like intellectual property theft, currency manipulation, slave labor, all these different things. Now they've added, since the Paris Climate Accord and things like that, they've added their giving them a monopoly on cheap energy. That's going to be one of the most important things because all manufacturing is very energy intensive, and especially this new AI is very energy intensive. So they have set them up to win.
Yep.
Yeah,
and again, there's going to be a dot-com bust, and that's going to crash the markets.
So let me ask you, though, in terms of the dot-com bust, because a lot of that is about NVIDIA, and Jensen Huang is always on the phone with Trump, he says, and I can believe it because Trump is really obsessed with AI. If things start looking bad, do you think, just like the two big-to-fail banks, are they going to step in and prop that up? And would that keep it from...
They could prop it up. They could prop it up all they want. They're not going to win.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I'm saying, in terms of the stock market.
China just told Trump, keep your NVIDIA chips. We don't need them.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to advance on this.
Yeah.
The trend has just been born. Mm-hmm. You don't invest all your dough in these losing companies.
So even if they put a lot of money in, it's just going to slow down the collapse of the bubble, maybe.
It won't slow it down at all.
Slow it down. Yeah, okay.
No.
Yeah.
China's going to rule on this. And then going back to the loss of jobs. Again, we write the data in the magazine. Mm-hmm. China's going robotic like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're going to get rid of all these jobs that people are doing. Robots are going to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new world order. Love it or hate it, it's what it is. Again, this is important. a little boy of nothing.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I'm a... guy grew up in the Bronx, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know New York City. A little boy of nothing, whether you like him, hate him, want him, dislike, ain't the issue. Mondani, 34 years old, that nobody ever heard of, becomes the mayor of New York City, the largest city in America.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to AI and losing jobs. Gen Z was the biggest group that turned out against him, against Cuomo in the primaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When they won the election in November, Gen Z and millennials were the biggest turnouts that blew Cuomo out. Now, as a trend forecaster, you look at the world. Huh. What's going on in Nepal, Madagascar, mm-hmm. Morocco, Tanzania, oh, just Kenya? Oh, just what happened in Bulgaria 2 days ago?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gen Z's taking to the streets. Mm-hmm. They're broke and busted. They got no future. This is serious. Now, look what happened with the other elections.
So is this trend then for socialism? Because, you know, that's say, well, we want government to give us, what are they going to push for? You see that yet? Are they pushing for universal basic
they
income?
They got nothing.
Yeah.
They have nothing. They have nothing. And the billionaires just keep getting richer.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
look at the cover of this week's magazine, the Trends Journal. It's all about that.
Mm-hmm.
About how the billionaires are... here's another China signals official push to buy domestic AI processes. I mentioned that one to you.
Yeah.
But also going back to AI, is college worthwhile? 2/3 of Americans say no. New poll finds. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So, yes, they're going to be socialists. Again, it's not what you want, what you like, what you wish for. It's what is. And mm-hmm. they got nothing. They got nothing. The billionaires own the country.
Yeah. I agree.
It's not, and by the way, this isn't capitalism, it's fascism. It's the merger of state and corporate powers. That's the words of a guy by the name of Mussolini.
Yep. Yep. That's right. Well, we also look at the war issue, and of course we got Mark Rutte, who did the best that he could to try to destroy food production in one of the most productive countries for food production in the world, the Netherlands, and they kicked him out. NATO put him in his head, and he said, we're going to have a war that's coming that is going to be like the ones that our grandfathers had. So these people are pushing into World War III, as you've always said. You know, when everything else fails, they take us to war, and they see that people are losing it. What's your take on what's going on with Ukraine? Of course, you know, Trump has pushed very hard to get them to sue for peace, wants them to give up land. They said they're not going to give up any land. They don't want peace. And you had Zelensky meeting with the leaders of the UK, Germany, and France this week. What do you think is going to happen? More of the same?
Yeah, they're going to. Europe is ramping up the war.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we write the facts.
Mm-hmm.
That little slime ball who's the chancellor over there, Merz. Yeah. Germany's the third largest economy in the world, according to the data. Mm-hmm. The largest economy in Europe. In a recession for 2 years. This year, their GDP may grow by 0.2%. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're borrowing $1 trillion to build their military and our infrastructure so they could hold the tanks. We got to stop those Russians. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Germans that killed, what, over 25 million in Operation Barbarossa in World War One?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Russians they got to stop? Oh, you like Germany's First World War?
Yeah.
France, that little garçon Macron with a peck of the size of his pencil, if he has one at all. They're going to, we got to fight. We have to build up our military. Europe is all building up their military.
That's right. And they're saying, we got to prepare. Our children are going to die. And, of course, it's not going to be their children. It'll be your children that are going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and again, no, this will be the war when they ask the cat by the name of Einstein that knew a thing or two about the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
It was, what kind of weapons will be used to fight the Third World War? He said, I don't know. But they'll be using sticks and stones to fight the Fourth.
Yeah.
All this is a waste of money. It's not building up their economies. They're lying right out in front of everybody's eyes. But, of course, the media will not report it. When economies grow, when the products that are manufactured in the country are consumed by the consumers, mm-hmm. these products only go to the military-industrial complex.
Yeah,
you're not consuming bombs, planes, and boats. You know, this is a lot of crap. So what's going to happen, there's going to be a false flag event.
Yeah.
That's going to unite the people to fight Russia.
I agree.
And they've done it before. They do it again. Again, I've read this a number of times. Don't want to go into the whole thing. About we were in the Great Depression, 1941. The Great Depression. Franklin Roosevelt seizes all Japanese assets on July 26, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Because those dirty Japanese invaded French Indochina. French Indochina? What the hell are the French doing in Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam? And you're calling them French Indochina? Oh, you were in Algeria, Morocco. We're stealing, robbing, pillaging. The United States, the UK, and Dutch cut off 3/4 of Japanese trade, 88% of their oil, and stole their money. Can't understand why they bombed Pearl Harbor. All right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How about 9/11? What preceded 9/11? Oh, the dot-com bust and NASDAQ was down only 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody forgot about it. And then they had the fake housing boom and the derivative scam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the same thing's going to happen. They're going to ramp this thing up. And again, Russia is 100% correct, as we see it, for not wanting to give up the land in the Donbas region that they've taken.
Yeah.
And the reason being is that Ukrainians killed over 15,000 people of Russian descent after they overthrew the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in 2014.
Yes. Yes.
And who overtook them? Oh, the Azovs, the Nazi Ukrainians?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And who's the guy playing the president? A little boy that used to play the piano with his penis?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it was, he got elected on a campaign of peace in 2019. They'd already had 5 years of civil war where they were bombing civilians in Donbass. And, of course, our media doesn't talk about that. There's just been a bill introduced, and I'm sure it's not going to go anywhere, but Lee in the Senate and Massey in the House put out a bill to get out of NATO. They call it the NATO Act, and they said NATO for them stood for Not a Trusted Organization, which was a great acronym. That definitely sums it up. And in it, Massey recounted what you were just saying. You know, the promises of the George H.W. Bush administration, James Baker, saying, we're not going to go any further than this, and they've continued to move and to encroach. I mean, it has been a gradual process of encroachment, and, of course, if we look at, the Ukraine. That was called the Ukraine before it became a country. It was part of Russia for 400 years. And so you could make a lot better case for Putin going into Ukraine than you could for us going into Venezuela. Us going into Venezuela is kind of like French Indochina. You know, this is really 21st century colonialism, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. This is the Trends Journal magazine back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
See how happy that guy is?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the United States overthrow of a democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych.
Yep.
Here's the article written by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Washington is driving the world to the final war. Mm-hmm. It goes on to say Washington concluded that Russia needed to be confronted with or distracted by problems that would lead the Russian government less confident or able to counter Washington's aggression elsewhere. Ukraine presented the perfect opportunity. Yeah. Talks about how Victoria Nuland boasted that the United States sent $5 billion to non-governmental organizations to bring democracy to Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, this is going on. You see this picture here?
Mm-hmm.
The Sochi Olympics.
Yeah.
The Sochi Olympics is right before they overthrew the government. The United States, it's right here, leading up to the Sochi Olympics, media and government officials warned of looming terror attacks, hotels in disrepair, filth, yellow drinking water, and homophobes everywhere. They scared the hell out of the American people. The ratings went way down on TV. They said, don't go to the Sochi Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Security expert, it's not if, but when for Sochi Olympics terror attack. Veteran security consultant Bill Rathcrap, hopes that he's wrong about the upcoming Winter Olympics in Russia. But he has more than a hunch that he's not. Quote, The security threat is higher than it's ever been in the history of the Olympic Games, Rathbone warned. Quote, in my opinion, it's not a matter of whether there will be some incident. It's just a matter of how bad it's going to be. Of course, nothing happened. Yeah. Total lies. But they taught us to hate Russia before they overthrew the government.
That's right.
Nobody talks about this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. This has been a very long, steady aggression. The problem is that things are starting to collapse pretty quickly in Ukraine. So that means if they're going to do something, they're going to need to do it pretty quickly, right? So they're feeling the time pressure.
They'll bomb a nuclear power plant. They'll bomb a nuclear power plant. They'll do something.
Well, you have an article about European countries blame Russia for sabotage without providing evidence. I mean, they're already doing it. You know, you don't even necessarily need to have an attack. You can just claim that there was an attack, whether there was one or not. And if there is an attack, then, you can blame it on Russia.
Yep. Oh, you saw that in the magazine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, so what is the sabotage that they're claiming without any evidence?
Yep. Yep. It's going to keep expanding and expanding. Yeah. As forecast, battlefield conditions worsen for Ukraine. Ukraine, this is from the Trends Journal this week. Ukraine carries out new strikes on Russian chemical plant. Europeans, as you mentioned, European countries blame Russia for sabotage without proving evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And this, Putin says Russia does not want war with Europe, but says such a conflict would be resolved quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Germany cracks piggy bank for war spending as new equipment spending approaches $40 billion in 2025.
Yeah, it seems to me like, Trump is trying to pivot away. It's not that he's a peacemaker. It's just that he doesn't want to get into a war with Russia. He wants to get into a war that he can win. And so it seems to me like that's what's going on. As he's not only, starting the war with Venezuela, but now he's also threatening Colombia, threatening action in Mexico. What is your take on that? And, of course, the national security statement that came out was highly critical of Europe The press over here is not reporting that, but RT reported it. And it was very, very true what he was saying about Europe. And yet, you know, they only summarized the pejoratives that he has there. But I kind of wonder if that was for geopolitical consumption or if Trump really believes that. I don't think that he wants a war with Russia because it'd be difficult to win. I think he does want a war with Venezuela, Colombia, perhaps even Mexico, because he thinks he could win that. But it's going to be a quagmire, isn't it?
We haven't won a war since World War II.
That's right.
And we haven't won that one without Russia's help. They were the first ones to beat the Germans. I mean, how stupid could anybody be?
That's right.
And again, you think we would have invaded Iraq, Libya, and Syria if their major export was broccoli?
Yeah.
That's why they're going into Venezuela. And oh, by the way, did you see?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
See this one that came out? Hegseth in 2016 repeatedly warned of Trump issuing unlawful military orders.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We played that clip, yeah.
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 And now this is the arrogant little clown boy that says it's okay to kill people in little boats with no proof of anything.
Yeah.
An arrogant little piece of scum.
Yeah.
A little clown from Fox. Hey, I'm the Secretary of Defense. Look at me do push-ups.
Yeah, you talk about illegal orders. As people, as we pointed out, you know, the example of, of taking somebody prisoner and not executing them is somebody who is shipwrecked. That's the actual example that they use in the military manuals. And when I talked about this week, Gerald, I showed a clip from The Great Escape. You know, after they capture the prisoners, they drive them into a field and machine gun them, right? And I said, that's basically what we're talking about here, right? You're going to ignore all the rules of war. You're going to, and I think that they, I think they kind of came up with this drug war idea because they didn't want to remind people, they didn't want to call it prohibition. They didn't want to remind them what a failure alcohol prohibition had been. And the fact that we actually had a constitutional amendment for that. They don't want to have any constitutional amendments for any of this stuff. They don't want to. This has all been against the rule of law. And now they're escalating this. I mean, this takeover of this tanker that's got between 1 and 2 million barrels of oil on it, that is a major heist. I mean, you know, these people are pirates, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, why did they take the ship? Because they're going to send oil to Iran?
Yeah.
What do I care?
Take it because they can. That's why. I mean, you know, it's just.
I mean, really, that's none of my business as an American.
That's right.
Let Venezuela and Iran do what the hell they want. They want to buy whatever they want to each other. Who are you to say what they should do?
Yeah.
Oh, and this is the other thing. Again, we wrote about it when it was happening. Trump tried to overthrow the Maduro government back when he was president in 2019 and 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Go Google it up. Listen to the State of the Union address when he brought that little clown boy of nothing, Juan Guaido. He said, this is the real president of Venezuela. He called Maduro back then a socialist communist.
Well, I could get him a trip to the Oval Office, right? Like Mom Danny.
You got it. Oh, socialist communist? All right, yeah. Let's go back now. Had nothing to do about drugs. Mm-hmm. They made up this whole drug crap.
Yeah.
These boats are 1,500 miles. They're little power boats. They don't come to the United States. They're 1,500 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of crap. You don't bomb a boat like this and kill people. How about the people that were hanging on the side of the boat for 45 minutes they killed?
Yeah.
And they sell the crap that they had armaments and they were going to attack.
Yeah. Premeditated murder.
Forget the outrage. I forgot about the slaughter of the Palestinian people. Who cares about that?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it disgusts me to see these MAGA influencers out there, you know. And how do you like Megyn Kelly saying, yeah, I want them to suffer. I want them to bleed for a long time, not just kill them right away. Yeah, yeah, it is amazing. I got a comment here from Three Little Birds said, I'll make it to your next rally, Gerald. When is it planned for?
You know, next peace rally. I don't know. And I have to tell you, you know, it's so disappointing. All these billionaires don't give a penny for peace.
Yeah.
It'll probably be next September. But it's if we're still here, if they don't kill us by then. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Not a penny for peace. The billionaires are getting richer and richer. Everybody's getting poorer and poorer. Not a word about peace. Not a word about peace. Nobody in the major media is allowed to be on with the prostitute media if you talk about peace. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an article, by the way. Is this the one? No. Yeah, here we go. Trump willing to seize more oil tankers off Venezuela coast. White House official says. Official? How about an official piece of crap?
Yeah.
Official. Right. F you, this official crap. You're not an official. You're a piece of scum. And get this in your head, you little clowns. You're public servants. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, okay. Salente. You're a plantation worker of Slavelandia. Yeah. And catch again the headline. Trump willing to seize more oil tankers, huh?
Yeah, yeah, I bet he is. Yeah.
Trump is going to go seize them? Hey, fat boy. Hey, fat boy, you're going to go seize them? Oh, you got five draft deferments in the Vietnam War? Oh, I got a spur on my ankle. You got a spur on your brain.
Yeah. Yeah,
five draft deferments. Yeah. And look at the warmongering lying SOB that lied his way into office. I won't start a war. I'll stop wars.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all the lies he said about being a peace man when he's running for president?
Yeah.
One quote after another.
I wonder which one of his sons is going to go down there and fight in the war. Is it going to be Barron? Is it going to be Donald Trump Jr.? You know, he had a...
No, it's going to be the same thing like Netanyahu, the warmonger whose kids in hiding Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Donald Trump Jr. is doing just fine, isn't he? You point out in Trends Journal the deal that he made with Vulcan Elements, right?
Yep.
Getting Pentagon money, you know, part of the military-industrial complex. Massive amount of money. I mean, look, it's no different than what we said about Hunter Biden. You know, how did he get involved in this Ukrainian oil company when he doesn't know anything about the oil industry? Well, certainly Donald Trump doesn't, Trump Jr., doesn't know anything about these companies that are getting the $620 million Pentagon loan and another one, his $4 million stake in Unusual Machines paid off when the Pentagon ordered 3,500 drone motors, she point out, and yep. You know, this is how he's cashing in. I've got a couple of questions here for you, Gerald. On Rumble, DGA, thank you, says, David, can you ask Gerald about Saudi Arabia joining BRICS and selling oil on precious metals? Is Venezuela about preserving the dying U.S. petrodollar? Do you think that's an aspect of it?
You know, it's they're going to, again, they want the oil. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, this is very important. Trump wants to do everything he can to try to boost the economy. That's why they lowered interest rates again. And when you look at the price of Brent crude, what is it now selling for, around $61 a barrel?
Yeah.
He wants to keep oil prices down. Last year at this time, it was like $80 a barrel. So that's why he wants to steal the oil.
Well, when he stole the oil, the price actually went up.
Well, I'm just saying what they want. They want to keep the price of oil down.
Yeah.
And again, particularly as they're trying to build up all these places for the AI crap. So they want to get as much energy in any way they can and steal it as much as they can. Number two, with Saudi Arabia joining BRICS, you know, it's a guessing game. Because Saudi Arabia is very much involved with the United States. Look what they gave that little boy of nothing, Jared Kushner, and his son-in-law, $2 billion for his company.
Yeah.
$2 billion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and look at all the Trump Towers and Trump this and Trump that opening up in the United Arab Emirates and in Saudi Arabia and all of these countries. That's why the Arabs have not come out against what Israel is doing, because they're all on the same team. Oh, remember that guy that just came over, the prince over there, or the kid, what guy, that guy that killed the American reporter? What was his name?
Mohammed bin Chapin.
Yeah,
he's been chopping people up. Yeah, MBS. Yeah,
you know, right. Look at how Trump. Look at the disgusting show he put on with.
Yeah, that's right.
Going back to gold, gold today was up. Before we went on the air, it was high. It went up to it hit a high today of 4,354. It lost all of it when I went back on the we went on the air. But now when we came on the air, it was selling at around 4,285. 4,285 bucks.
Yeah.
Go back, Trends Journal, September 2023. We said gold prices bottomed when they hit 1,850. Go to your Trends Journal, January 2nd, a couple of months later. 2024, golden year for gold, going up 30% last year. And now it's up. Woof. Look at silver prices, up over 100% this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So prices are going up because the world is going down. I've been at this for 45 years. Here, one of my books, Trend Tracking, a lot better than Megatrends Time Magazine, 88. That's how I became a trend forecaster. I started buying gold in 1978. $163, I think it was an ounce. $160-something dollars. And now it's, what, 4,000? Almost 300.
Yeah.
Okay, now, here's the deal. Go back to October 16th. The podcast I did, I said gold prices could drop some $500 an ounce. Couple of days later, gold hit $4,380 an ounce. A couple of days after that, a week later, gold dropped some $500 an ounce. Now it's down about $100 an ounce from its high. Okay, here's the deal. Gold, as we see it, we don't tell people what to do. Gold has to stabilize strongly in the $4,200 an ounce range, like 4,280, 4,260, for a week or two. And if it stays in that range, or if, of course, if it goes higher, it's going to keep going higher. If it goes down to the 3,900, 3,800, you could see it drop back again to about 3,500. And then it'll go back up again. And that's the way we see gold going. And silver, very important. Silver is used in more and more, again, everything going AI, the more it goes like this, the more it keeps happening, the more use of silver. So let's say your cell phone busts or your computer, you throw the damn thing away, right? There's silver in it. If your ring doesn't fit you anymore and you want to get it, you melted the gold ring, you melt it down, you keep the gold. There's gold reserves. There's no silver reserves. Number two, silver prices are going up because people can't afford to buy gold. mm-hmm. and they're concerned about the future. So we're positive on both of them long term, but we're just telling you the short term what to look for. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're interested in buying or selling, you know, something to consider. So that's where we see it going in that direction. And going back to the BRICS, this is important. Again, I started buying gold in 1978. Now, totally important, you get the Trends Journal. And again, everybody, you go to Knight, you get 10% off. Of course, you're like $2.50 a week. You go back, they didn't say a word about rising gold prices. We had it in the magazine up until around October. Not a word in the mainstream media. Not a word. It was going over every, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, one after another. Not a word. Not a word. They don't want people to know how bad it was going.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, there's no relationship between now and 1978 when gold prices spiked.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. Here's why. Let's go back to 1978. I had a country called China before Slick Willie brought him into the World Trade Organization.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, China's gross domestic product in 1978 was around $150 billion.
Mm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Today, nearly $20 trillion.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Got it?
Yeah. Yep.
China is going to be the world, as I say, the 20th century was the American century. But the 21st century is going to be the Chinese century.
Mm-hmm.
Because the business of China is business, and the business of America is war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
China is investing like crazy. They become self-sufficient. They don't need Made in America because the slime balls like Clinton that brought China into the World Trade Organization went to China, the Western nations, and gave China all the heavy industry and high-tech technology they never had.
Yeah, that's right.
And remember when they first went there in 2020, China officially joined 2 weeks after 9/11. Look at the profits that BMW, Ford, General Motors, all of these companies that went over to Europe, from Europe to the United States, that went over to China to get their products made, the Chinese people were buying them up.
Mm-hmm.
They were making a load of money, getting cheap labor, manufacturing their products there, and then what happened? We don't need your products anymore. Hey, who's the biggest seller of EVs? It's China, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're taking mm-hmm. over. They don't need anything that we have. We gave them everything we have. And this is why I have this T-shirt that you could get if you go to Trends Journal.
Yeah. Who are you to tell me what to do? Yeah. Yeah.
They sold us out.
They did.
A little slime ball like Bill Clinton wasn't worth a penny. A little nothing of crap. What's he worth now? About $150 million. Hey, how about Obama? Huh?
Yeah.
Hey, look at my mansion, all right? Yeah. I was a little nobody from Chicago. Look at me now. Huh? Hey, you let me. I'm going to have peace. Remember that lie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, as soon as he gets elected, what does he do? Afghan troop surge.
Yeah.
I want that guy Gaddafi out of there. I want the guy Assad out of there. Oh, yeah, and everybody sucked your crap, didn't they? Oh, and he won the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner. Like the other crap had to just won it now.
Yeah, that's right. While we were talking about silver and gold, I have another question here from DG8. It says, David, can you ask Gerald about India placing silver at a 1 to 10 ratio to gold? 1/10 ratio to gold. I had not seen that. That is much, much higher price for silver than we've seen here in terms of ratio. And I don't know exactly. Do you know what he's talking about there in India?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've not seen that. But I do know that India was the is retail trade pretty much in India, part of their religious thing. It caused that big squeeze for actual physical possession of the metals out of the London area when they had their, as part of their religious celebration, they typically acquire gold, but they had a lot of influencers who said, well, this year you need to get silver. And so it created this tremendous whiplash of stuff because they'd already sent a lot of silver out of London to the U.S. because they're worried that Trump was going to tariff it. And so then it's going back and forth between the two different areas. We got Haibu says, please ask Gerald if the Venezuela thing is a distraction from the Epstein files to be released. He always says that when in doubt, take them to war. Venezuela is out of left field for sure. What do you think?
They've already talked about that. I mean, this Epstein, well, they just came out with all the people with pictures of Epstein, Bannon, one little jerk after another, Gates, Clinton, Trump. And they're gonna delete everything that they want, so we don't know the truth.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They're gonna delete everything that they want, so we don't need the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And Epstein, what a disgusting piece of crap! Oh, didn't Clinton pardon him when he was for some crap that he did?
Yeah. Well, pretty much they got the Clinton connection that I saw was Ken Starr, who basically let all these serious charges against Clinton just go away, and he came after him for the technical perjury crime about consensual relationship between him and Monica Lewinsky. And, of course, Ken Starr was the defense attorney for Jeffrey Epstein. So, you know, it's a club that we aren't in, and I'm glad we're not in that club. But
this is the Clinton. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I only slept with her.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting one, Gerald.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Here's an interesting question here. This is from Jersey Boys 89. He says, when will housing prices go back down? When .2.0 happens?
They're going down now.
Will silver, gold... He says when the .com crash 2.0 happens, will silver and gold and housing prices go down? Will tuition prices go down? What do you think?
So when the .com crash happens, silver and gold prices are going to skyrocket.
That's right.
And housing prices are already going down.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep going down, but we don't see a housing crash.
Mm.
Prices are definitely going to go down, and things go up and they go down.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up buying three buildings, and you've been up here. You saw the beautiful buildings I have, three Revolutionary War stone buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I bought three of them in 2012 at the bottom of the market.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for the 1750 Franz Rogan house with a huge yard where I have the rallies. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like $75,000.
Wow. That's a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything was at the bottom. Now it's worth well over $1,375,000.
Yeah.
Because Kingston is one of the hottest spots. People from the city flood up here for the beauty of the place. And anyway, there's going to be a time to buy real estate. It's not now.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to go down, but there's a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if we don't get wiped out by war, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that'll be the end of life on Earth. But minus that, there's a time to buy real estate. And for me, my life has been precious metals and real estate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, housing prices are going to go down. They're not going to go back up again until they bring mortgage rates down to like the 3 or 4% range. And they're not near that now.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? That brings up the issue of Trump getting to appoint the next Fed chair. Was it May of next year or something like that?
He's
going to lower interest rates. That's going to drive gold and silver up.
Because the lower interest rates go, the deeper the dollar falls.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot to go back when we were talking about the BRICS. The BRICS now control, and again, as I said, there's no relationship between now and 1978. The BRICS are in control now of some 40% of the world's gross domestic product. And they've had enough of the United States.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So there's going to be the death of the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very bullish on gold and silver. And again, I don't give advice, but you buy it and you put it away. You buy it, you put it away. Buy it, put it away. Buy it, put it away. Buy it, put it away. Mm-hmm. And when you get old, you got it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's why what Tony does with his Wise Wolf, that he just gradually accumulated on a monthly basis, like a subscription type of thing. That's great.
Yep.
But, you know, that's the other part of it. Everybody knows that the financial system is in the middle of being reset. And all the BRICS people saw how they stole money from Russia. They don't want to have a part of that. They were already opposed to the U.S. having a hegemony on the financial system and being able to borrow whatever they wanted to indefinitely and essentially just print all this money up. But now you've got not just the BRICS, but you've also got the people who are pushing, even on the American side, with a stable coin. And anybody who's trying to set up some kind of alternative financial system, whether it's stablecoin and Tether and all these people, everybody's going out there and accumulating gold because if you have gold, then that builds your credibility with people that you can actually essentially write, you know, cash the checks that you're writing for your new financial system. So there's a couple of different things out there that people are trying to establish with financial systems, and they're all in competition with each other to get gold.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, again, I want to mention this too about Trump. How they say he's out of his mind. A couple of weeks ago, they had this picture of Trump when he kept falling asleep at the cabinet meeting several times.
Mm-hmm.
And that little clown boy over there on CNN, the Cartoon News Network, Jake Tapper, they said that, quote, look, Trump's 79 years old. I mean, like, this is not abnormal for a 79-year-old to be sleepy. Hey, a jerk off over there in CNN, I'm 79 years old. I don't get sleepy. You got it, fathead? Who the hell are you to say that? Maybe because you're in crappy shape because you got a crappy head. Don't you tell me that garbage.
Yeah, yeah. They were talking about how he has this bandage on his hand and it doesn't seem to be healing. I was looking at that and I said, well, that's really surprising considering how fast his ear healed. That's one thing.
Yeah, right?
I've always had a question mark about that ear shot that they said, It's like, how did that thing heal and he's got no scar on it? It would just heal just like that, but he's got a bruise on his hand and he can't get that to heal.
This is the first book I worked on in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
When no one was talking about it. So I don't want to hear this crap. Okay, we're doing an interview with Gerald Celente. This is David Knight. And he fell asleep as we were talking. And this is natural for a 79-year-old guy. So we understand that Gerald was sleepy. All right, what if I fell asleep as we're talking?
We never have to worry about that, do we?
I'm just saying, what a bunch of crap. And by the way, Trump eats junk food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he does. He's not on a health kick at all. No. It's amazing that he's been able to get as far as he has, actually.
How about he goes like this? He goes, Hey, how about that, man? Could you move like that? Could you move like that? Hey, how about this? Could you do that? Could you do this? All right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some issues. Yeah, I thought it was funny that he's talking about how he aced the cognitive test when they ask him questions about elephants and other things like that. It's like, yeah, this is kind of, I don't know what kind of a cognitive test they gave him.
And I want to make this 1,000% clear. As much as I can't stand Trump, I couldn't stand genocide Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's right.
The war little mongering scum of nothing Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Little Georgie Bush, a daddy's boy with a pair of cojones the size of a mothball that got us into the Iraq and Afghan war.
Mm-hmm.
Slick
mm-hmm.
Willie Clinton. Jimmy Carter. Oh, yeah, who deregulated the airline industry and created Al-Qaeda. Oh, you forgot about Osama bin Laden? No, yeah. That was different back then. What was that? What did they call it under Brzezinski? Al-Qaeda that became now...
The Mujahideen, actually.
Mujahideen.
Yeah, he actually had that old warmonger, John McCain, was going around to Republican women's meetings and saying, hey, you want to sponsor a Muj? And he had one of the Mujahideens with him, yeah. Yep. So.
Yeah, that Jimmy Carter. Yeah. Jimmy Carter that set the stage for banks to become intrastate back then.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Bank of America was only in California.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, that slime ball that everybody looks up to. One piece of government crap after another. Again, if you didn't call them politicians, you'd call them gangsters.
That's right. Well, I tell you, that really is what is happening with Venezuela, isn't it? It truly is amazing. I mean, they're just pirates and gangsters, you know, and he's threatening, well, you're next in Colombia, you know, we're going to, yeah, I guess maybe they're... They want the cocaine market as well as the oil market.
Remember the book, War's a Racket.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Smedley Butler. Yeah.
Yep.
Racketeering and corrupt organizations. That pretty much just sums up the federal government right there. The story about the silver ratio was from the Jerusalem Post, DG8 tells us. So appreciate that. We'll go back and take a look at that. Jersey Boy asks, he says, would it be a good idea to trade in silver when it gets to the low 15-to-1 ratio to gold? You know, what's your take in terms of owning silver or gold? You know, versus the other.
I own both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had bought more silver. But I'm very blessed for what I have.
Yeah.
And so, you know, use your own thinking. And you know, keep learning about as much as you can possibly learn. And then you make, you know, listen to the different people. And then you decide.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I read, like we talk about the Israel war, I subscribe to Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I go to Jerusalem Post, Times of Israel, Ynet. I want to hear everything the Israelis have to say. I also go to IRNA, ISNA, Press TV, Tehran Times. I want to hear what the Iranians have to say.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Arab News, Al Jazeera, Middle East Monitor, Middle East Eye. I want to hear what the Arabs have to say. I go to Arab News. Again, I go to Euro News, France 24, BBC, Guardian, on and on. We listen to what everybody has to say. And then we say, this is what they're saying. This is our analysis. Here's where you see it going. You don't mm-hmm. take one side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to be open-minded. And again, you look at things the way they are, not the way you want them to be.
Yeah.
And you got to make connections between different fields.
Mm-hmm.
You know, opportunity misses those who view the world through the eyes of their profession.
Hmm. That's a good quote, yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting how people get tunnel vision over things. You know, we talk about War and Peace. I don't know if you saw this from Mike Huckabee, where he says, well, Israel didn't attack Qatar. They fired a missile at them, and they fired that missile at a person. Yes, it killed some other people, but it was a, you know, basically it's a personalized missile is what he's trying to say. And, you know, collateral damage, I guess, as the Pentagon likes to put it. But it'd be funny if it wasn't so tragic in terms of the mass murder. But the lies are actually kind of getting humorous. They're so obvious that are out there with these
warmongers. They just came out with something, a stupid article about Neanderthals used to kiss 20 million years ago.
How do they know?
Oh, 20 million years ago? No,
yeah.
No. Everything began when God told Abraham that, or Moses, that this land belongs to the Jewish people 3,500 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Save your fairy tale for somebody else, Huckleberry. Don't want to hear your baloney.
Yeah, well, I don't believe the fairy tale that he has out there is what the Bible says. That's the key issue. I think he has created a fairy tale, but
You know, we don't know. 20 million, 30 million years ago, there was life on Earth. We have no clue what's happened and why we've been wiped out or came back or whatever it was. And they have no clue. And they're just, to me, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows? 30 million years ago?
Yeah. Well, I don't believe those dates either. And I don't think they can tell when they were kissing.
That's what I'm saying.
20 million,
yeah.
30 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people have a lot of different fables about different things that are out there. But it truly is interesting. And, you know, when you're talking about gold, what kind of a target are you looking for? I've seen targets put out there by Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and others. They seem to be coming in around 4,900. They don't want to say 5,000, although Jamie Dimon did say 5,000 to 10,000. He thinks that it go to pretty soon. But what do you think? I mean, I've seen a lot of them saying they thought next year 4,900. Maybe they're pricing in, you know, what Trump is going to do once he gets his Fed chair in there. What do you think?
I see the same thing. 49,500.
Yeah.
5,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, when the dot-com bust happens, which they won't talk about,
mm-hmm.
and they only started talking about this only a couple of months ago. We've been talking about it. Cover of Trends Journal magazine, February 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Dot-com bust 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
When the dot-com bust happens, you're going to see gold prices skyrocket and
yeah.
silver rises.
Yeah.
The toilet paper record, the New York Times, came out with an article a couple of days ago that's saying this is different than the dot-com bust because the companies now have a lot of money behind them, you know,
mm-hmm.
like all the big companies.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hurting for dough. That doesn't make a difference. When the markets crash, it's not about the companies. It's about all the people losing money in the markets and how they're going down.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, that's back to the point you made about, you know, even with the federal government coming in and subsidizing these companies, if it's clear that everything is moving to China because they've got the data centers and they got power for their data centers and they've got their own domestic chips that they're working on as well as their software, once that becomes apparent, then it crashes regardless of whether or not these people are getting money from the federal government. Be
you
what you're
it.
Saying, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm telling you, this is going to crash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's going to crash. And the crash is going to come sooner rather than later.
Mm.
We're in a holiday season. People are in a holiday state of mind. That still doesn't mean it can't go down. Because let's go back to December 2018. Not ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
It was the worst Dow since the Great Depression.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when Trump forced Powell to lower interest rates.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year. It's all the more reason for you to get a subscription to Trends Journal and to be able to identify these trends. Again, you can use the code NIGHT to save 10% off. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Always interesting to talk to you. Maybe the next time we talk, we get some projections for the next year, for 2026. Thank you.
Coming out with the top trends very soon, the beginning of January. So
great. Yeah,
but I'm tired now. I can't. I got to go.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you.
Time for us. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates, but now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert. So you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.